Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is, or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. A little short on depth today. Eric's not here. He's taking his Tuesday lounge day off. And Andy had to go home early after we taped our PFW TV show. He just under the weather. We're worried about him.
Yeah, something. And you know what? All the fans were worried about him too, Fred.
Yeah, well, not really. But
no, when we were out in San Diego and people were coming up there saying that they were glad that he wasn't there, they, after that, expressed a little concern.
Well, Paul's here. I'm here. Kevin's in the booth. Yeah, Andy, we're thinking it might be Lyme disease. That's our guess. Or Joe Cronin's disease.
He's not feeling well. Who knows why?
Yeah, there's something going on. So we told him whatever opinion he's gotten, get a second one, because they haven't put their finger on what's wrong with the big head. All right, but we'll pull through. Paul and I, big win. Lots to talk about. Unbelievable win. It was an unbelievable game. Every time I looked down to check out the comments in the blog, I missed another crazy play. So
it was one of the more bizarre games.
Yeah, it was really weird. And, you know, like I wrote Sunday night after the game, you really couldn't appreciate how much the Chargers lose every game, you know, until you saw it for yourself.
That's a great way to put it. I wrote all the stuff in the first 6 weeks that happens, in the first 5 weeks, whatever. Yeah. But you really had to see it for yourself and experience the whole thing just to see how badly they were all playing teams and losing.
And how many different ways they figure out how to lose.
Yeah, and I turned to our buddy No Sox, who was sitting next to me in the press box, as they were lining up the field goal. And I said, well, I wrote the preview describing all the different ways they've lost games. They haven't lost one by missing a field goal at the end, so I'm pretty sure he's not going to make this.
Right. Well, not just missing it, but screwing themselves and hitting with a false start.
But hit the upright, too. Yeah. I mean, it's like... Yeah, I mean, it didn't help. The false start didn't help on that particular kick. It's no good from 45 either, because it was coming in from the right and obviously didn't get there in time.
Yep.
But you know, it didn't help.
Right.
False starts on 45-yard penalties don't help.
Yeah, who knows what the added 5 yards did to him mentally.
It's rare that you could see, and it's funny, it's become an epidemic around the league. You're just seeing teams everywhere kill themselves. New Orleans absolutely destroyed Cleveland in that game.
Yeah.
But you just kept giving them plays.
Yep. Yep.
Giving them points.
Yep.
Dallas has done it all year. Same kind of thing. You know, these teams that you just continue to lose games, and the Patriots, you know, it wasn't perfect. They didn't roll in San Diego, but you know, they protected the football. They avoided, for the most part, a lot of negative plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brady was under a lot of pressure, but you didn't see him hurriedly throwing the ball into coverage or fumbling on strip sacks and stuff like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you win the turnover battle 4-0, and you're able to win the game.
Well, it was a very interesting game, and we're going to talk about that. But I think as far as Patriots Nation, I think a lot of people are anxious to turn our attention to this game coming up. So, you know, as the week progresses, like we do always, we'll start turning our attention to the Vikings. But I think it might be a little quicker this week than it normally is because there's so much to talk about. Brad Childress, I think I just can't believe him.
I think he's insane.
He called out his quarterback after the game Sunday night, but then I guess yesterday, you know, brought up the fact, you know, the fact, but his opinion that the Patriots are one of the all-time great signal stealers. Something, you know, he admitted that they do as well, but that the Patriots were the best at, and, you know, he thought that was a factor in that 06 drubbing back on Monday Night Football back then. That's not going
to
go unnoticed.
I don't know what signal you have to steal to see 4-3 Tampa 2.
Right.
That's what they play that on every play.
Yeah. And you guys said it. I remember in 06 in Minnesota, you guys saying, why do they continue to play cover 2? It's not working.
And
Brady's
you would think after some point, too. Belichick is – listen, I understand that Bill is a game plan-oriented coach, but there are some things that he tends to do on a pretty regular basis. And one of them is when he faces a dominant defensive front, especially with big guys, really big guys, he gets them, he quickens the tempo to get them off the field.
Right.
You know, and I thought that worked a little bit in San Diego at the start of the second half. I thought that pressure was subsided a little bit by the Patriots' tempo.
Right.
They got some of those guys to have to rotate a little bit. Pat Williams has been a great player in the NFL for a lot of years. When was the last huge play you saw him make against the Patriots?
Right.
The reason for that is that Bill has him on the sideline a lot because when you play at that tempo, he can't play 20 plays in the span of two and a half minutes. Mm-hmm. He can't do it. So it's going to be interesting to me to see Belichick once again go no huddle and try to limit that front four, which I think is very good. I don't think it's overrated at all.
Right.
Jared Allen, the two Williams guys, Ray Edwards, they're very good players.
Yeah, it's one of the best 4-3 teams in the league.
But I can't imagine that being a huge issue in this week because I think Bill will exploit their size and get them off the field.
Well, I know you don't believe me, Paul, but
I believe
honestly,
you. I believe everything you've ever said.
Honestly,
Frank, except for this.
I was honestly considering, because I have to pick some games where the Patriots are going to lose, because I don't think they're going to go 15-1. But, you know, so this was a game I was thinking seriously, you know, with the firepower they have on offense and the young Patriots defense and the defense that they have, okay, I can see the Patriots losing this game. But, you know, with Favre's condition, and then when Childress said
because
that.
Because Childress said something stupid,
yes,
you changed your mind.
Yes, I have my stupid reasons for changing my mind.
Yeah. I just don't believe that you were going to pick that.
No, I
now, and I'm not making fun of you for talking up Minnesota. I think there's a lot of similarities in these two games. San Diego, Minnesota, I think there's a ton of similarities.
Yeah.
I think they're very talented teams that are beating themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's been that way all year.
Well, you know, and it's mostly the quarterback that's been beating
the
Vikings.
That's the difference.
I really feel that if Favre...
You think if Favre doesn't play, and Andy thinks the same thing,
yeah,
it becomes a tougher game.
If Jackson's in there, they might be able to play within themselves, you know, settle things down, you know, really hand the ball off to Peterson, short passes, you know, controlled offense. I think they have a better chance than if Favre's in there just trying to make plays. Plus, he's hurt. I mean,
he is hurt.
Say what you want about
him. He's a faker. He's a drama queen.
Yeah.
I think all that stuff is true, but he is hurt.
But, you know, I think he is a little limited. Now, they're saying that, you know, if they shoot him up, you know, with an anesthetic before the game, he may not even feel it. It might be fine. That could be true, but I think the first time you get to him, it's got to hurt. And so I don't know. You know, I think obviously the Patriots have to plan for both quarterbacks.
Right.
But I know you think it's stupid, but I was seriously considering picking the Vikings.
I don't think that was stupid.
But now I think the Patriots have found their motivation.
Yeah, well, I think that's a little misleading. I think there's two things. For Minnesota, I think if Minnesota had beaten Green Bay Sunday night, and now after a tough start, a 1-3 start, you got back-to-back wins put together, especially if they had won it the way that they almost did, what they originally had a touchdown with 48 seconds left that they correctly overturned. I think
right.
The referees, by the way, over the weekend,
he was standing right there.
I think they were particularly on crack this week.
It's
in the
NFL. You know, I almost feel that, and it's the college game too, by the way. I watched some atrocious atrociously refed college games this year. It's almost like with replay.
And Joe Jurevicius in the booth.
Yeah, so prevalent. It's almost like the refs kind of relax now and because they know they got replay to back them up. I mean, there were some.
There were some tough calls in college, too, because we got a chance to watch a lot. We were out there all day on Saturday. We got a chance to watch a lot of football.
I mean, that touchdown in the back of the end zone that they originally called a touchdown in the Minnesota game was so – the guy was standing right there.
It was a little closer than it looked in that – this is – first of all, don't give me the – here's the thing, Fred. His whole foot is on the white line when he came down, but his toe was very close to being in. And if it's just the toe there and then the whole foot comes down, that would have been the second foot. So it was, that's what I'm saying. It was a little closer than it looked. Clearly out of bounds, though.
Yeah.
Like when you look at it and you just see the whole foot come down, his whole foot is on the white.
Yeah. And then the explanation of the call they overturned for the Vikings, they got screwed on.
I don't understand. I didn't hear the audio on that.
The ground aided him in catching the ball.
It didn't. Yeah. And this is the one I said that I think Brad Childress is certifiably insane. Based on his post-game press conference, that was the one aspect that I agreed with and I applauded, because too many of these guys are afraid. He's going to get reprimanded for that, for saying what he said after the game. But he's absolutely right. That's not the way they tell us in our little seminars, and they have the same ones with the players that they do with us.
Right.
You know, we get that, and Fred, you come to that every summer more often than not, up in the press box when the referees come. They talk about that ball moving. When the ball hits the ground, did it move?
Right.
He needs to maintain possession and complete, quote-unquote, complete the act of the catch, process of the catch. Did the ball move? The ball didn't move 1 millimeter.
Right. And they, you know, they also talk about, well, you got to get your hands under the ball. But they stopped doing that. Yeah. Well, the point of the ball was exposed.
But he's catching the ball in the air. That's underneath.
I know.
When they're talking about.
Right, right.
That's on a low pass. Welker had a pass against Baltimore in overtime that he caught, but the ball was underneath his hands.
Right. Yep.
And it hit the ground, and they accurately called that one no catch.
No, that was, they got screwed.
Get it. And I just don't understand the way they call some of
these those four
things.
Points, because they ended up getting a field goal, those 4 points were a big difference in that game.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, the Vikings are another desperate team, just like San Diego is.
My whole point that I got off track, if they had won that game, then all of a sudden they're 3-3, they're feeling good about themselves. And then if the Patriots had lost against San Diego, I think you come back and you look and you say, wow, all right, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were.
Right.
Maybe this team is just as talented as we think they are. Now they're feeling good about themselves. Maybe we're not feeling as good about ourselves coming back across the country.
Yeah.
Maybe that could line up for a home loss. But now I just think 2-4, they're a hair away from packing it in. Favre is a cripple. They have quarterback issues. They have coach quarterback issues now. The Patriots are flying high right now. I don't see them. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying they can't lose this game, but I don't see them losing.
Yeah,
I got a little frog in my throat.
I mean,
I do, and I can't get rid of it. I don't know where it's from there, Phil.
I don't know. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com.
I'll try Diet Coke.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. It was a great trip out to San Diego, and Barry Nsiang and Chris Gokong had a great party Saturday night for the Patriots Tailgate Club, and it was fans from really all over that were in town.
Great turnout
for the Chargers game.
I want to thank everybody that came up to me. No one had any weapons on them.
Yeah.
I was happy with that.
I'd say there were about 200 people there, all decked out in their Patriots stuff.
And Robert Kraft made an appearance.
Robert Kraft showed up, and Tom Curran from CSNNEEE came, and Mary Pastrami. He brought Mary Pastrami with him, and
that's Mary Paletti.
Paletti?
Yeah.
Paletti.
Paletti.
Okay. Mary.
Mary.
Okay. Well, they were there.
They had the first name right, which is good for you.
They were there, and. So it was a great, great turnout there. One woman, Kristen, had a G-Force shirt that she had made up.
Yeah.
She was very excited to show
87 Patriots shirt. She was disappointed that Andy wasn't there because she wanted to show him.
Yep. So,
but most of that was not the sentiment on most fans' part. Most of them were very glad that Andy wasn't there.
Yeah. Relieved, I would say.
Relieved was a good word.
Yeah. They were just happy that he wasn't there. But that was great.
Great time. Barry, Chris Gokong, great job by Barry.
Yep.
No question. I got Chris Gokong.
Yep. So, he's doing a good job. I think he should try to do this for every game. You know, get himself a free pass to all the games, and then you know, hold these parties. Because I think you could pretty much have a party anywhere you go now. I think there's enough fans on opponents' teams in every spot in the country, even if they're not going to the game, that would just like to go to a party before the game.
I think definitely for the non-traditional rivals, like the NFC games that we don't frequent a lot, and even the ones in the AFC outside of the division, I think you definitely. I mean, I think maybe if you're going to Buffalo and Miami and the
that
Jets,
might get a little old.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You're dealing with the same people year after year after year. I mean, right. They might come. They might. I think you're right. Even if you're not going to the game, who doesn't like a party?
Right.
You know, you get me a Miller Lite, and I'm good for the night.
So that was good. And then obviously the game, you know, San Diego, that Qualcomm Stadium is just abysmal.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the worst five. We were talking about that going in. They're all on the West Coast. Yeah. Candlestick, Oakland.
Yep.
San Diego, three of the worst five. Terrible. You got to put Buffalo in there.
Yep, terrible stadium. But it was a good place for the Patriots. That by the end of the game was just about all just Patriots left in the stands, and I would say a couple thousand easily.
There was a good Patriots crowd.
Yeah. I mean, you could hear when the Patriots made a good play. You could hear it.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good roar that went up.
Yeah, ironically, you don't hear anything at Gillette, but you can hear it on the road. You can definitely hear it on the road.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. On it right now is Marcus from B.C. Now, is that Boston College or British Columbia, Marcus?
That's actually D.C.
Oh, D.C. Okay.
Yeah.
Another good job by Kevin.
What's going on, Fred?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. That was a big victory we had this week.
Yeah, it certainly was. 5-1, baby. That's the way you want to be in the NFL.
Now, listen, I wasn't scared of the San Diego game at all. I kind of figured, you know, that we'll find a way to win out there because I just didn't think that San Diego was playing very well. But what's funny is the Vikings aren't playing well either, but I'm terrified. I'm actually terrified of this game.
Yeah, you know what, Marcus? I understand your line of thinking. And if anything, I would think that watching the San Diego game would have scared you more because you saw how talented they were. You know, I mean, you can't play any worse than San Diego played, and yet the end of the game came down to a field goal to hit the upright.
Right.
So you're thinking to yourself, yeah, Minnesota's not playing well, but even if they play a little bit better than San Diego did, they have the talent to play with you. I agree
even,
with you,
Minnesota,
Marcus.
I think Minnesota's even more talented than
I think
San Diego.
They are. I think they are, too.
I think they are. I mean, look at the running game alone. I mean, Adrian
much
Peterson versus
game.
Ryan Matthews. I mean, that's not even a comparison, right?
Much better close. Offensive line and a much better running game.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Marcus.
I don't even think that Randy Moss is going to kill us. I'm worried about Percy Harvin.
Yes, absolutely. Over the middle? Are you kidding me?
You know, when you had Antonio Gates was really the only healthy receiver they had. And when that happens, the Patriots usually can do a decent job of limiting that weapon. Well, now you have a guy who's playing almost as well as Antonio Gates at tight end and Shanko, but he's like the fourth option.
Right.
So you can't bracket him.
Right.
One more question for you guys. Since Eric's not there, who's going to be out at practice today? Or is there practice?
No practice on Tuesday.
No practice today. Yeah. And we haven't heard anything about Chung, right?
There was a report yesterday, and I apologize for not crediting where the report emanated. But I saw that someone expects him to be out 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that, but no one ever cited who it came from.
Yeah, and I'm a little surprised by that just based on my brief interaction with Chung after the game. You know, listen, the players always say they're okay. And maybe, you know, it looked a little looked better than it was. Because he looked like, I don't want to say he looked fine. He didn't.
He definitely had it wrapped and
but
he was limping.
And he said, but he said he was, I asked him, you know, he said, no, I'm okay, I'm fine. You know, I got the impression that he didn't expect to miss much more time than he already has.
Well, Belichick yesterday said, you know, he's a quick healer and, you know, hopefully he'll miss little time, if any at all. So, you know, who knows?
I'm going to guess he's going to miss this Minnesota.
Real quick, could you guys talk about the replay? Who handles the replay in the booth, like for the actual like Patriots or, you know, for other teams? Like, is that an assistant coach who handles that, who calls down and asks, you know, and lets the coach know to challenge the play or not?
Right.
It's sort of a collaborative effort. I think that Belichick is going to rely on people in the booth for sure. And there's a guy on staff named Ernie Adams, who's a football research director. He's sort of in charge of everything. He's Bill's eye in the sky, for lack of a better term. He's a very valuable commodity to Belichick. I don't know who exactly says down to Bill, you need to challenge this one or you need to challenge that one, but I know that, you know, the ultimate decision goes to Bill himself, but he does rely on people getting a look at things like that up in, from up in the
press
box.
You know, they have that coach's booth, and I think it's the first guy who thinks he has a definitive look says something, and then, you know, they probably say, are you absolutely sure? And then it's, okay, let's throw the flag. So it's there's three or four guys in that booth, but Ernie is, he's kind of the guy that, at least we think, is that one that, you know, gives that call.
All right. I appreciate it, fellas.
Okay, Marcus.
All right, have a good one.
Marcus.
Thanks,
from
Marcus.
D.C., not B.C.
I agree with my I agree with his impression, overall impression.
See, that's
of that,
why I was considering picking the Vikings.
Fred, I don't think that's stupid that you were considering picking the Vikings. I don't think it's stupid at all. There's nothing stupid about
you
it.
You just don't believe I would ever do that.
I don't think you'd pick against the Patriots.
Well,
that's all.
Then why didn't I pick them to go 16-0?
What you do with your prediction of the record is one thing. 16 weeks, you will pick the Patriots.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Paul. I'm not sure about
I think there's a Colts game that you hang your hat on from like 8 years ago that you picked the Colts.
No. I even picked the Jets to win a game a couple of years ago. Remember that?
No.
Yes.
And you certainly didn't in week two this year.
You'll have to go, because I know you keep a meticulous book. You'll have to go back
and check
that. But not
from years past.
Yes, you do. Andy and I were looking at it last time.
What are you talking about?
You have it from seasons past, your notebook. It's very neat. So, I know you've got the records.
I don't have the records. I think you're insane. Not just Brad Childress. I think it's you, too.
Oh, great. Strippers just tweeted out that I called Mary Paletti
Pastrami.
Mary Pastrami. So now it's out there in tweet world.
Well, I hope people realize that that's Fred being
that's
Fred.
What I do.
It was an intentional kind of what do they call those?
Shtick?
Yeah, but what's that, like that Norm Crosby, right?
Oh, yeah. He
like
used
malaprops.
Malapropisms.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I needed Eric for a second, but I'm sure he would have had to Google it anyway.
Right. Hey, guess who's on the line right now? Barry from...
Chris Gokong?
Yes. Hey,
nice.
Barry, how you doing?
Hey, it's good to hear. It's good to talk to you guys.
Barry, that was a great, great performance by you on Saturday. Much better performance, ironically, than the Patriots. Even though the Patriots won, your performance was much sharper.
Yeah, well, we all got it done, so I think everybody in Patriot Nation is pretty happy, right? Yeah. But I want to say thanks to you guys, especially for coming out and for the generous donation of the PFW Lifetime subscriptions that we raffled off at the party on Saturday night.
Oh, did I do that? I think I had a few after.
Were you in the sauce, Fred? Were you into the sauce?
No, that's great. Just get us the names of the winners, and we'll get those out.
Yeah, I'll be emailing that to you probably later today or tomorrow latest. And also wanted to let you know that, through the raffle, through, we collected a few extra bucks, kind of a cover charge at the party, through the tickets that Mr. Kraft gave us to do a silent auction on, and through we were selling some food and drink at the tailgate the next day, we made almost net of costs almost $2,000.
Wow!
To charity.
That's awesome.
And that goes to the Perillo Sons College Fund, I think.
Yeah.
That's a worthy charity.
We might have 25 cents that can go towards that.
Oh.
But I think the rest of it's going towards, we're doing a split. What we like to do now, I think the approach we're taking is support the local community that we're, having the game in. So that would be the San Diego United Way, and also supporting our home team. So the other half will go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation, the Kick Cancer Campaign.
That is awesome,
that's
Barry.
Cool.
I will let the Crafts know that, because I know that they're going to be psyched about that.
Yeah, I was really surprised. You know, I knew a lot of people were there. I knew a lot of people were contributing in different ways, even more than we were asking, whether it's the raffle tickets or the door collections. And I had no idea until yesterday how much it amounted to, and I'm just floored by it. So thank
that's
you
great.
To everybody who came out and contributed to all of that.
That's awesome. Now, do you have any others planned for this year, or is that it for this season?
We're trying to get some things going in Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Detroit as far as the road games. I'm not attending.
Detroit might be tough. It's the night before Thanksgiving and all that.
Yeah, but it's funny. There actually seems to be a lot of Patriots fans going out there.
Really?
There won't necessarily probably be as big an event going on as we had in San Diego, but we're still trying to get people together, even if it's, just for tailgating a couple hours before the game kind of thing. So if anybody is going to news games, I still encourage you to find us on groups.yahoo.com and search for Patriots Tailgate. Looking forward to next year's schedule, we're already thinking about, we already know that the Patriots will be going to Oakland and Denver. So once we see the schedule come out in April, we'll start working on those, and hopefully those will be big ones too.
That's great, Barry. Well, thanks a lot, and great job.
Barry, did you say you won't be at any of those?
I appreciate it, and how well we did with the charity fundraising. And, everybody had a great time meeting you. I've been receiving tons of emails thanking me for the great weekend, and a lot of that's due to you guys. So wanted to pass that on to you guys.
Well, you get Miller Lights and that kind of a setting, and you're guaranteed to get me to show up every time.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, I think all of us, it doesn't take much when it comes
to
that.
Nope.
Okay, Barry. Yeah,
well, I'll let you guys go. My voice is still gone from Sunday. also, just a side note, it's kind of interesting that by yesterday morning it was raining again, so we're kind of lucky that the Sunday weather held up, too.
Awesome. All right, we brought the sun.
Hey, thanks for all your hard work, Barry.
All right,
it was really nice.
Thank you guys for your support. And, Fred, I'll get in touch with you with those winners of the PFW subscription names. And, and then, I'll be coming out in November for the Colts game, so pencil me in for lunch on the 22nd, which I think is Tuesday.
Well, we will see you then. All right, that's Barry Insiong of the Patriots Tailgate Club.
A.K.A. Chris Gokong.
Go to yahoo.com, click on groups, and search for Patriots Tailgate, and you can join their club and be informed when these parties are happening on the road. They're great times. It's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
It's a lot better to spend the night before the game with a bunch of Patriots fans than in some bar where you don't know anyone. It's really cool. All right.
It was cool. We had the NLCS game was on, which was a great game.
Yeah.
It seemed like everybody there was rooting for the Giants over the Phillies, and then they won. And it just was overall, the atmosphere was great. We saw Missouri beating Oklahoma. There was actually, on the other part, I don't know if you saw this, Fred, in the other part of the bar, like we were on kind of a reserved area.
Yeah.
The other part of the bar, there was a huge contingent of Missouri people. There was like a similar kind of outing from Missouri. And when they beat Oklahoma, number one team in the country, that place erupted. Mm. So it was a lot of good sports stuff going on Saturday night.
All right. A lot of good stuff going on here, especially lunch, which is made possible by the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, as he always does Tuesday. Thank you very much, James. We really appreciate it. You got off easy today because Big Head's not here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had a story of something that happened to me in Seattle. I had a problem in the press box bathroom. Before the game, I went in to, you know, do my business and realized there was no toilet paper. And it's only one stall, so it's not like you could even ask for help. I peeked out and there was no one in there. So I ran out with my pants down around my knees. I've got one hand holding up my pants, but waving my hand in front of the hand dispenser. That wasn't working. Then I saw this like kind of work pylon. And on top of it, sure enough, were three rolls of toilet paper. The problem is, it was right by the door. So if I went for that and someone opened the door, I was screwed. But I did it, and I went for it, I grabbed it, and I ran back to the bathroom, and I made it.
Oh, no one came in?
No.
Oh.
Nobody came in.
Would have been much better had someone come in.
Yeah, but it was harrowing.
Well,
I'll tell you, I had an incident on Saturday in San Diego. You know, because Friday night, you and I, everybody else, we went out, had some wings, and they didn't really agree with me. So Saturday I was walking around the San Diego Zoo, and I had an incident by the polar bears and then once in Africa. So it was tough, you know, but thankfully.
I like the wings.
Thankfully, at that zoo, they have bathrooms everywhere, so that helped me out, but I definitely had to use them.
You had to go twice, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
I can only imagine the situation I would be in at the San Diego Zoo to have to go to the bathroom there.
Well, you just don't like that.
Nah.
You make yourself a little nest and, you know. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. A lot of interesting emails today.
Freddie, I'm with you, by the way. I had to do, this was my NFL thing. I had to take my medicine. You took your medicine a couple of weeks ago? With San Francisco and your Super Bowl pick.
Right.
I had to take mine with Dallas. Could we have made worse Super Bowl picks?
It's unbelievable.
We predicted teams from the NFC to go to the Super Bowl that have a combined two wins 7 weeks into the season.
I think everyone is shocked about Dallas, you know, not to mention Jerry Jones. But there's no way a team that talented should be, you know.
1-5?
Yeah, there's no way. And I mean, I would just be beside myself if I was a Cowboys fan. And now, you know, Romo was knocked out for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it might be.
You know what?
Why bring him back?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They're better off not even bringing him back.
Yeah. Wow. So that's, Anyway, let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com. This one comes in from Brian in New Mexico. He says, good job, PFW and Belichick's fourth down glory. The show has turned into bickering about personalities lately. I'm putting this trend on the fans, complaining about this guy or that guy. So let me take the onus and shift things back to the other way. Great job, everybody. You guys stomp everything else that has my ear. The only thing that matches you for credibility and entertainment is the Rich Eisen podcast. I've heard a lot about that. It's very popular.
I have too, and I've never heard it.
Yeah. I guess he gets a lot of good guests.
See, I think Rich Eisen is a funny guy. I don't particularly love him in the role that he's on NFL Network, but I think he's a pretty funny guy.
Anyway, he says he goes on to say, Andy, you get villainized, though it is obvious you are the biggest homer of the bunch. You are always ahead of the curve, loving on players like Gronkowski, and sticking by players getting showered with hate, Darius Butler. We emphasize good qualities in the team and players that otherwise would get overlooked. This gets overshadowed for not being willing to call a player an all-pro or not predicting a win. My buddies give me a hard time because I always build up the Patriots opponents and go off about how much I respect them and how good their players are. If asked who I think will win, I'll usually pick a good team against the Pats, but don't think I'm not beating the hell out of a pillow if they lose. So I empathize with you. Paul, you are the Tom Brady of the show. You keep it moving forward, and I consider you the most reliable take on the Patriots on the planet. Wow.
I agree.
It baffles me that there are people who have issues with you, though they probably stem from being on the same side of the fence as Andy on perfectly logical topics mentioned above. Fred, what's to say that's not already been said you are the party starter? Whether it's starting a shouting match or a laugh-out-loud moment, you get her done. Zig-Tecs are the best shoe in the history of mankind. And Eric brings a completely different dynamic to the show. He's refreshing and insightful. Please stop asking where he is. He's at practice. He does a kick-butt job on Patriots playbook, and it'd do anyone who dismisses his contributions some good to tune into the playbook to see how good he can be when feeling the love. And same can be said of Kevin. He offers great insight and personality throughout the Patriots.com radio lineup, and I've noticed the other shows never experience the same PFW technical problems, which leads me to think that when Kevin is engaged in the show, he is better at doing his nuts and bolts duties. So why doesn't he get engaged with our show? Anyway, he's back there eating. I see him. Look at him eating over there. He's got his food. He's like
they can't see
kid
him,
in a candy
he's
shop.
On radio.
Look at that. After whining about fans talking about your personalities, that is exactly what I've done. If I haven't put you to sleep yet, then let me quickly talk football and say that I'm having more fun watching this Patriots team than I have in any team in a decade. Guys like Chung and McCourty have won me over. Win or lose, I love rooting for these kids. It is awesome to have a squad of Patriots draftees instead of a free agent patchwork. So, anyway, he goes on, but...
You know what it's kind of similar to? I mean, not so much the results, the way it's happening, but it's kind of like the 94 team way, way, way back. They had all these young guys that they drafted together, and they sort of caught fire. You know, they weren't a great team, but, at some point in the middle of that year, they just seemed to get it. And they started playing really well, and they finished with whatever it was, like a seven-game winning streak or something like that.
Yep.
And they ended up going to the playoffs. Now, they didn't win it all, and, you know, you look back more fondly on some other teams that accomplished more, but I understand what he's saying about that the free agent thing. You know, it's great to pick up guys from other teams. Like, look, Wes Welker has been great for us, and
yep.
Randy Moss was great, and there's been other guys too. But there is something that's special when you draft a guy and develop him yourself, and you sort of get that attachment right from the start with that player, and to have those guys like Patrick Chung sort of emerge, and they have.
I think you see the same thing with the Red Sox a lot. It's a lot more
fun.
And
they're doing it right now, too, the same way.
When the guys come up from the farm, club, and, they've been a Patriot all that time, and you develop them, I think the fans have more of an affinity with that guy than the guy that just comes in as a free agent. I think it's like that with all the sports, particularly baseball and football. Let's see. Paul writes in. Where's Paul from? Let's see.
L.A.
Paulie in L.A. How did you know that?
I took a shot.
Oh. He says, seriously, how many weeks in a row does Eric Negativino have to eat his words about how bad this team is supposed to be? Don't get me wrong. I have eyes. The game was not a pretty game by any means. Heck, I deleted it off Tebow as soon as it was over. But most teams in this league would kill to have this record right now. But Eric is like a guy who broke up with a girlfriend for some ridiculous non-reason and has to justify his actions to everyone, constantly, even when no one asked him about her. Quote, I knew she was going to break up with me, so I broke up with her first. Better for her that way. Or, she just didn't get me. I wanted someone sexually ambiguous. All she wanted was sex. I don't get that one. Or...
Did you ever do that?
No.
Did you ever break up with a girl for a dumb reason and then regret it?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. I've broken up with a lot of girls. I broke up with a girl once because of the way she danced. I swear to God. Or I kept letting...
Danny Terrio broke up with a girl because of the way she danced.
I kept expecting her to let me down, but instead she kept surprising me by stopping the run on third down. dude, I get it. You closed the door on the team this year. You moved on. You've emotionally detached yourself from the eventual heartbreak. So you can say, see, I told you so. Does every article have to have some backhanded compliment?
Wow, he's right. This is seeped into his writing?
Yeah, though the Patriots haven't yet played their best football, they've managed to lose just one game in six to start this season. Really?
See, I disagree with that whole. I'm with Paulie here. I hope the Patriots
haven't played their best football
yet.
If
they haven't, look out, because I think they played close to a perfect game in Miami and very, very well against Baltimore. Now, I'll agree, this past week, not the best football.
Paul goes on to say, really, with seven rookies on the field, I'm rather proud of them. At least no one put the ball on the ground and walked away.
Exactly.
I like your work, Eric, and I can even tolerate you on the show. I even agree with most of what you're saying. But when I'm here on this website, my home turf, show a micro amount of respect for the fans who emotionally invest in the team and suffer till the ball hits the goalpost. We don't have the luxury of detaching ourselves. Some of us live and die by each play. Just ask your boss, Fred. You got that right. Thanks, guys. I really, really appreciate all the hard work and commentary. You make it fun to cheer, scream, and laugh for the team, no matter how nuts it gets. Keep up the good work. That's Paulie in L.A. Thanks, Paul. Good email.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Eric will get to read that. So, you know, he's been down on the team. He did divorce himself from the team.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, and I was critical of people for doing this a couple of weeks ago before the Baltimore game, and I think there's an element of truth to it. I think you set yourself up so you don't get let down. When you convince yourself, we're not going to beat Baltimore. You know, we're not supposed to win a game like that. How are we favored in this game? And I think there's an element of that.
Oh, I do.
I don't want to get my hopes up, because if we lose, then I'll just be crushed.
Yeah, and
that's what Eric's doing right now.
And a lot of people will say, well, it's, you know, because of 07, you know, it was such a letdown. And I'll say, it was before that, too. I think New England fans are just like that. They're skeptical, waiting for the next shoe to drop. They've always been that way. You know, there was a time when they had an excuse with the Patriots because they were just a bad team. But I think over the last decade, in my mind, whenever there's a doubt, it has to go in the Patriots' favor. And don't be afraid to say, I think they're going to win. You know, yeah, they're not going to win every game. But, I mean, you've earned the right to say that as a Patriots fan. I think they're going to win this game because, you know, they've proven that they're one of the best teams in the league. Year in, year out.
And that's why I don't believe you when you say that you were going to pick Minnesota.
Well, again, they're going to lose more than one game this year.
I know that, but you're not going to predict when it's going
to
happen.
So I actually have to look for a scenario in which I think they will lose. And I think, you know, here's the difference between San Diego and Minnesota. They're both desperate teams with a lot of talent. But San Diego's quarterback is playing well.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a big, 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 big difference.
Well, yeah. The reason that the Vikings are losing, you could say,
right,
is singular.
Yep.
It's the quarterback.
It could be the coach, too.
Costing the games.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the team.
Yeah.
The Chargers are making mistakes really across the board. Yep. Now, this past week, the injuries killed them. Absolutely crushed them. They had guys out there. The guys that were making mistakes probably wouldn't have had the ball in their hands under normal, you know, Chris Wilson, Robert Goodman, Richard Goodman, what was the guy's name? Number 15?
John Goodman.
Goodman, I think, was his last name. He also recovered the onside kick at the end. Chris Brown is out there kicking because their kicker was hurt.
Right.
The guys that ultimately cost the Chargers the game are not guys that normally would be a part of their equation. But for the Vikings, it's all been about Favre.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they did lose their safety, who was a good player. Griffin, or what's
his name? Their other cornerback, Cedric Griffin, is torn his ACL.
You know, so they have had some injuries, no doubt. But for the most part, their front liners are healthy. And, they're relatively healthy, you know, with the exception of Favre right now. But all their main players, their front seven, Hutchinson on the left side of that line, Adrian Peterson, obviously, they're all healthy right now. So,
man, those are some tight pants you got on.
So, you know, that's why I'm worried, Paul. But, like I said, I know this,
I don't think you're wrong to be worried.
I know you think this is ridiculous, but after Childress said what he said yesterday, there's no way the Patriots lose to the Vikings.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think it's silly that you have concerns. Marcus said the same thing. Yeah. Marcus in D.C., not B.C.
Right.
I agree with him.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad from the Eastern Shore, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. You two are doing all right. You're holding the stick up today.
We know what we're doing. We're professionals. We don't need that big head to hold us up.
This ain't our first rodeo.
Hey, good commentary today. And a very kind of almost like a unique game in that San Diego couldn't do any more to give it away. And it was like we kept saying, no thanks, we don't want it.
Yeah, it was absolutely. That's in a nutshell. That was 60 minutes of football. It was one of the strangest games that I've ever seen. And, I think that's exactly the right way to look at it. Is they tried their best to give it to us, and for much of the game we said, no thanks.
Yeah, well, and especially it was kind of weird in that in the first half, the offense was saying, no thanks. And in the second half, the defense was saying, no thanks.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny, that one drive in the third quarter, you know, toward the end of the third quarter, I mean, I'm guessing that the Patriots were giving up the middle of the field on purpose.
Well,
right?
I think that San Diego moved the ball at will the entire game.
No, not the entire game.
When they got to the red zone.
The backward pass happened after they had moved the ball about 50 yards down to the 30-yard line.
Correct.
The fumble that the guy had was on a 25-yard completion over the middle that he left the ball in the middle of the field.
Well, yeah.
They weren't forcing a lot of stops.
I know, but we all knew that Rivers was going to get his yards. The question was how many points was he going to get? And
when you're giving the ball away, you're not going to get many points. I don't think the defense changed much. I think the offense finally converted is what I think happened. And Belichick said the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a rather tough game for our defense. One of my main point of contention this week is what is up with Guyton? He's so slow he can't cover Betty White in the Snickers commercial.
He struggled.
Yeah,
he struggled in that game,
and he struggled a little bit in the Baltimore game too.
Yeah, and you know what happened too is, you know, I talked a lot about how Belichick likes to up the tempo on offense to get certain matchups and keep personnel on the field. Well, I think what the Chargers did that you might turn to, Freddie. When they decided they had to be one-dimensional, I think that took Spikes off the field and left Guyton on the field for long stretches.
But he's supposed to be good.
He's supposed to be out there. But yeah. I think Brad's right. I think that wasn't one of Guyton's better games.
No, he seemed. You're right. He seems, how do you lose? He's still a young guy, but he doesn't seem quick as we thought he was.
Right, the speed he had last year.
Yeah.
Is not there this year in the Baltimore game, and man, it was glaring in this one. But not only the speed, he seemed lost in his coverage. Time and time again, he would drop back into coverage and just stand there. He would never look side to side to say, oh, hey, here comes little Twit coming across the field. I better go get him. It was stand there, wait for the ball to be thrown, and then run in the direction the ball was thrown, and it was just compounding the problem.
Yeah.
He had a really, I think if... He is my number one struggle. My number two struggle, obviously, was the O-line, which goes back to Paul and my discussion way back in August about the O-line versus the D-line. D-line is gelling. O-line seems to be getting worse every week.
Well, they certainly had a tough time. The sacks per pass are going up. There's no doubt about that. I think they had, what, how many attempts? 37 attempts or something like that, you know, and a lot of pressures.
Was under pressure all
day
long.
A lot of pressures, you know, so it wasn't just sacks.
And for the second game in a row, unfortunately, it was on an ISO camera. Copen just looked like he whiffed.
Yeah, and a couple of those passes that Brady had were just awful passes because I think in his head he thought that the pressure was coming, and there were some really low passes.
It's funny because it happened out of nowhere. It's the last three games, 10 sacks the last three games, and you guys are right about the pressures. It's not just sacks.
Right.
And a lot of times that he's getting rid of the ball a lot quicker than he wants to.
Yep.
Did you guys notice that it seemed like Wendell was playing a lot at left guard?
He replaced Conley in the second half.
He actually replaced Conley?
Yeah, that 17-play drive, Wendell was in the game for the entire drive.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I noticed, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't remember Conley being hurt. But
I think that was a performance issue.
But see, to me, I keep looking at that saying, unless Conley's absolutely blowing those assignments and Copen is handing him off to Conley thinking Conley will be there, those look like Copen whiffs more than it does somebody else not picking up a man. They were talking about how bad Conley played yesterday on other radio programs yesterday. And it just seemed to me like, boy, it looks like Copen's kind of getting manhandled this year.
Well, I didn't go back and watch.
And I like Copen.
I know. I didn't go back and watch the game and kind of break it down in that way. But I will say that no one really stood out to me negatively. Not one guy. I thought the offensive line as a whole across the board was getting beaten. So I understand what your point is. It seemed like everything was directed at Conley because, you know, in other words, I think if they didn't make that change, if Ryan Wendell didn't go in the game on that drive, I don't think you would have heard one player saying, wow, Dan Conley really struggled this week. I think Bill made the move and everybody said, okay, that's free reign. We can beat up on this guy. I kind of agree with you, Brad. I thought the most of the pressure, to be honest with you, was coming off the edges.
I was going
to
say light.
And not,
light
not just light.
No, but
the other side,
played,
too.
But it was only once. Vollmer only let the guy go by once.
Yeah.
Light, it was a swinging door, for crying out
loud. Yeah, light was worse, but I thought Vollmer had a tough day, too. I also thought there was one play that Crumpler was lined up at tight end, and it looked like he was supposed to get a piece of, I want to say, Phillips. It might have been Barnes.
And he just released,
and Vollmer was blocking a guy inside. No one touched the guy outside.
Yep.
Never happens to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
But I think that this week especially, it was very noticeable to me. It looks like Brady is changing his arm angle on a lot of these throws, and they're going down at their feet like crazy.
Well, that's why, and I think it's in his head. That's a mental thing. You know, you all of a sudden you're ready to throw it, and then something appears in the corner of your eye, or you feel something, and it changes, like you said, your motion. That's when you get those misfires.
I mean, were you guys seeing that? That it, like, the first half especially.
Yeah.
His throws were
absolutely
at their feet all first half long.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is it the pressure, or is he in his mind without Randy Moss saying, I have to be perfect. I can't throw an interception. They may drop the ball and I can't control that, but I can't throw an interception. So he's guiding more than throwing?
Well, I would say that if it's I have to be perfect, I think that would also, you know, he'd also have to have been thinking about that earlier in the season before the defense proved itself.
Yeah, I think it's more the former than the latter.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the pressure that he's all of a sudden found himself under, and it's something to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Because, we know he's not an overly mobile guy. We know the offense relies a lot on timing. So if he's not able to get the ball off when he wants to, in the manner in which he wants to, I think the offense will struggle because it's hard right now. I think they can be an efficient offense, but I'm not sure it's going to have a lot of big plays to it. So
no, I think we're going to see a lot more 13
yeah.
play drives.
Like they put that 17 play drive together at the beginning of the second half. You have to be perfect.
Yeah.
To operate like that, that's hard.
Yeah, it is.
And
a 3-play drive is a lot easier than a 13-play drive.
And let's not forget, and I know the Patriots had a big holding penalty in that drive that they overcame.
Yep.
But the drive also got kickstarted by a hellaciously stupid penalty on Antonio Gray, which was going to be 3rd and 8 from their own 24. And after the play, Gray got into it, with Stephen Neal. Stupid, stupid penalty.
Second game in a row where you just see a brain-dead moment
from
a player.
Smart
play by Neal, too, because
he didn't retaliate, yeah. And you're right, Phil. And all of a sudden it goes from 3rd and 8. And, by the way, remember, Patriots were 0-for-6 on 3rd down to that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
So instead of 3rd and 8 from their own 24, 3 and out, here we go again.
Right.
They get a first down at the 39, and, you know, whatever, 15 plays later, they're in the end zone with a 20-3 lead. Game's over.
And Mr. Kirschwords had just posted that about a minute earlier about being 0-for-6 on 3rd down. So,
good job, Freddie.
Yes, I did.
Good job, Freddie. I didn't realize that you talked about football on that blog.
I actually have some stats.
I didn't realize you did football on that blog.
Once in a while.
Good for you.
But no, it was interesting because he had only put that up about a minute and a half earlier. And then on 3rd down, they failed yet again, and they get the penalty.
Yep. I think it was at the time they were 11 net passing yards, too, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a very strange, I mean, as hard fought as the Baltimore game was, and people have talked about that, too, saying, well, it was a letdown. Look at both teams. Baltimore really struggled against Buffalo. And it just, I didn't feel like they struggled. It just was weird. There was no continuity at all to that game.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to give some credit to San Diego's defense. They have a really good defense. And that,
As I told you upstairs, Fred, the thing that I was most excited about was exactly that. Yes. The fact that they found a way to beat, I think, a good team on the road while not playing anywhere near to the level that they're capable of.
They would have lost this game in 09.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt
about
it.
And I think the Minnesota defense is nowhere near what it was a year ago.
Yep.
I think we saw, not only just last night, but just for this whole season, I think teams have figured out, and all they got to do is watch the Patriots games against them. You spread them out, you go fast, and get those big guys tired up front, and there's no push whatsoever on the offensive line. And if we do that this week, we'll be fine. I think if we keep trying to run, run a play, pass a play, run a play, pass a play, that's going to help Minnesota much more than it'll help us.
All right, Brad from the Eastern Shore, thanks for calling in.
Hang in there, guys.
Appreciate it. Let's get to an email. James V. in the UK writes in, and he says, loving the recent shows and recent lines you've been coming up with. I had a quality moment on Friday when listening to Thursday's show, which ended up talking about anal sex and Andy saying gay anal, and the immortal Fred replied, no, 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 she likes it in the can. Burst out laughing on the quiet coach of a train where a fellow passenger looked at me with some level of disdain, but it was worth it for that comment. Love the game on Sunday, was able to listen to it live, and have never been so happy for a ref saying false start. Love G-Force's TD, and could just imagine Andy, presumably at home, jumping around in his living room going, G-Force, G-Force. Have to say I can now solidly believe in any game that the Pats play. They clearly aren't going to blow anyone out, but are clearly good enough to compete with any team in a year where there is no elite team.
Yep. I'm with you.
Am not
I'm with you guys. I was late to the party, but I'm with everybody now.
Come to the good side.
Am not scared of the Vikings or Browns, and I can now see two games against the Steelers and Colts where we are 7-1, and I don't think many people had this team with that record at that stage. That's James from the UK.
No, the only thing I would caution on this, I'm definitely on board here. Don't pencil in W's against anybody.
No.
Don't. They're not that good.
I'm telling you, in Cleveland could have a good defensive game and Patriots could lose that.
I don't think there's much of a chance that Cleveland's going to beat them. However, I would caution against penciling in a W against anybody.
Yeah.
They're not that good to do that.
Right. Let's see. Kyle writes in, question regarding the Patriots' decisions in the fourth quarter kickoff returns. When there is less than 8 minutes left in the fourth, and with what appears to be an increase in surprise onside kicks, why do the Pats not line up in an onside formation? The worst that could happen is that Tate doesn't get to return it much past the 10-yard line or kneels for a touchback. I was sitting on my couch and screaming at the TV when they were not lined up on the onside kick formation, especially after seeing the Bills do the same thing, even though the Chargers were lined up in a normal kickoff formation. What do you guys think? Keep up the great work. That could be an optical illusion because of the the new rules in the NFL don't allow teams to stack one side.
You can do anything you want on the return side.
Return side, but it used to be, you would have everybody on one side.
Right.
Both sides.
You have to have a certain amount on both sides of the ball on every kickoff.
But the Patriots were probably matched up man to man, I'm sure. It just didn't look like they were lined up against
Thought they had I don't think they had the hands team out there. There might be different personnel at the end of a game situation up front, but they had an extra guy than normal up front to receive that kick.
See, I was in my living room, much like Andy probably was, and I hopped up, and I was mad that they weren't more ready for it. I said out loud.
I think it was execution, though.
I said out loud before the kick that to watch out for it, and everybody I was watching the game with.
We all said in the press,
hey,
got an onside kick.
Look at the replay. It was a perfect kick.
It stopped right after it went over the 10-yard line.
You can't stop that perfect timing between the gunner who gets there.
I don't know if I've ever seen an onside kick recovered in that fashion, where the guy kind of catches it in stride with his back to the return team.
Yeah, it was pretty. But
I do think, listen, the Patriots didn't handle it well, but I think it was more of a physical thing than a lack of preparation thing.
And the you will never see again like where both teams are on one side of the ball waiting for the onside kick. The defense or the returning team have to match up man to man, and they have an even amount of guys on either side of the ball. So, you don't know which side the kicker is going to do the onside kick. So you can't, flood everybody to one side. You have to even it out. So it does. It may not have.
I do think they had an extra guy up front. They normally have five across, and now you can't do the wedge anymore. So I think a lot of teams or creeping a sixth guy up closer. They definitely had six right across on this one.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember seeing much of on regular kick returns.
I'm sure onside kick was definitely on their mind.
I think it was an execution thing. Yeah. I think that they were slow to react to the ball, but I think that they were as surprised by it as people think they were.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
It was just a perfect one, you know?
It was perfectly executed.
Let's see. Jay writes in, I think the Vikings are coming apart.
Yeah,
and there's
I
nothing Childress will be able to do to correct it, because I think some of the players think he's the problem. Did you see Moss at the end of the first half looking at the sideline and yelling and waving his arms?
Who's this emailing?
Jay.
This is I couldn't agree more, and this is why I'm not as worried about this game as other people are.
Did you see Moss at the end of the first half looking at the sideline, yelling and waving his arms, wondering why they were letting the clock expire? Childress has lost that team, at least the two offensive stars, and by the end of the season, his job. I think the Pats will win by 10 this week. But if the Pats can get up early, it could be a blowout, because that team is looking for a reason to fold. That could be true.
Could be true. I agree.
You know?
I don't think they like playing for him. I don't think he inspires confidence.
No.
In the players. And no. I agree. I think it could get ugly this week.
Ben from Vermont, did anyone notice when Danny Woodhead got tackled that his Charger defender ended up with his shoe in his hands? The defender stood up and threw the shoe back down on the field. Isn't that some kind of penalty, or is he just a jerk?
What is he supposed to do with it?
I know.
You want him to go bring it over so he tie it up for him?
I think so. I don't know.
I mean, if you said he threw it at him, I would say, okay, well, that's probably over the line. But if he put it back down on the ground, he threw it back. I don't know what he's supposed to do with it.
I mean, they're all jerks if they're a Charger. But no, I would have thrown it down. I would have thrown it at Woodhead. The hell?
Then you're a jerk.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say, here's your shoe, and I would have whipped it at him.
Now go home and get your shine box?
Right. Let's see. Justin writes in, hey, guys, if Chung's out for Sunday, who will be playing for him, and would that affect us back there with Moss out there? I mean, it could.
It'd probably be Sanders and Merriweather, right?
Yeah, by the way, James Sanders had a good game.
James Sanders.
You know, Andy's boy.
Yeah.
He had a good game.
He played well. He made a great play in the end zone on Gates, by the way.
He sure did.
Great play.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we haven't been seeing from the secondary guys over the last couple years, making plays, you know?
Yeah, and give Merriweather credit, by the way. We haven't talked about him at all yet. Made some good tackles, some good hits, was very physical, but yet within the rules. You know, he showed that you don't have to play the way he played last week against Baltimore to be effective. Now, again, I'm going to stand by my original thing. I still don't see him making any plays to stop completions.
Right.
And I'd like to, you know, like the one we just talked about with Sanders.
Yeah.
Like the one we talked about McCourty on the pick.
Yeah.
You know, where are those kinds of plays?
Right.
I'd like to see some of those. But I thought he tackled well, tackled hard, and didn't get any penalties and didn't do anything illegal.
And speaking of that, you had a comment this morning about, you know, oh, my God, they have a new emphasis and the sky didn't fall. Football, as we know, it didn't stop being played.
I didn't see any tackles made in these games by a defensive player grabbing a flag of an offensive player, which all the defensive players were leading us to believe was where we were headed, flag football, right?
Right. There was one play in a game that they pointed out yesterday was right in front of the end zone.
The guy let him go.
He kind of let him go. He had him lined up, and, you know, I don't know what that was all about. But I saw a lot of good, hard, solid tackling, not in just the Patriots game, but in all the games.
Right.
And, you know, the sky, you know, football as we know, it didn't cease to exist because of this new emphasis. I just thought that was a ridiculous comment, and I applaud some of the, you know, current players and ex-players who have come out and said, you know, they're sick of the whining.
Hey, it really was. It was over the top.
Yeah.
Paul, before we get too far off track of your last comment about breaking up passes, pass breakups, being in position to make a play.
Yeah.
I just have a general question from the last 2 weeks. When they go it at Arrington, they always seem to have success, especially on like a 10 to 12 yard out route.
Oh, yeah.
Where the safety it doesn't even factor in the play.
Seems like you can really run him off.
And his hips go, and he almost does a 360, and by the time he spins all the way around, the receiver's
already got the ball. I like to call it Paul Perillo technique.
Okay, so can we agree that the safety generally doesn't have any impact on that kind of play?
Because
he's over the top.
Yeah, you're running a 15 yard out, you can't rely on safety.
And if you can run that play with such efficiency that we've seen being thrown at him, why wouldn't they just keep doing it?
Well, I would say that I didn't understand why Baltimore stopped doing it. I think Baltimore, and it wasn't just Arrington against Baltimore, it was McCourty too. I thought they had any one of those throws they wanted they got.
It just seemed like the last 2 weeks, any sort of out pattern in his direction was an easy 12 yards.
I think that if you change up your defense a little bit and you're in a strict cover two, I think the corners aren't as worried about the guy running by them in that situation, and they pass him off to the safety, and they kind of jump up on the out a little bit. But you're right. I think
because to me it just seemed like an easy 10 yards, like every time, to run that simple little like curler and out route.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have an answer as to why. Certainly, I was critical of Baltimore's play calling at the end of their game because they were doing that, I thought, at will for the first three quarters and then stopped doing it in the fourth quarter and overtime.
Yeah, sometimes these coaches overthink things. I really do think that.
Yeah, they run that fade. Baltimore ran that fade to Heap down the sideline on McCourty, which I'll take that matchup anytime. I'll take McCourty on a tight end.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Christian from Revere is on the line. Hey, Christian.
What's going on, boys?
What's up?
Well, we're just basking in the glory of 5-1.
I hear you. Feeling pretty good, winning these games the way that they've been winning them. Obviously the offense struggled, but you see the defense a little more and more each week getting better. It's good because it leaves a little, room for error down the line, like with these Pittsburgh and these Indy games coming up. So you're winning these games and you're building confidence, and if you have a slip-up somewhere down the line, the way that the league is this year, it's a lot of two-loss teams, a lot of three-loss teams. So I got to say, this is a year that's sort of up in the air, like you guys have been saying and everybody else has been saying. And,
yeah.
You just watch the games every week, and it's like, hey, we can beat these guys. We can beat those guys. We can hang against them. So I feel really good. I do.
That's the biggest thing for me, TIAN, is the teams that I thought were markedly better than the Patriots have proven not to be.
Yeah,
I think the Patriots are now right in the mix with the other 5-1 teams, and I see no reason why you shouldn't be confident that this team can now be a playoff team and do damage in the playoffs.
No, absolutely. I mean, the Pittsburgh-Miami game comes to mind. I mean, if Miami, converts one of those first two turnovers into a touchdown, they probably win the game.
Yep, certainly the last play was very controversial.
Oh yeah, I mean that was something.
Although I will say this, I've heard a lot about that game.
Yeah,
there were over 2 minutes left, and Pittsburgh had three timeouts. If that had been ruled a fumble, the game wasn't over.
No, by no means.
I know everybody's saying, "Oh, they had the ball; they won the game." The game wasn't over.
No, they had all three timeouts. You're right, and they did have time. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw the game. You probably didn't, but the beginning started off with two fumbles, and Miami had, two possessions, and the Pittsburgh
and they ended up with
zone.
6 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was big. I think that, we'll find out what it's going to mean in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a beneficial game for the Patriots. I think that kind of puts Miami in a real desperate situation now. If they win that game, they're 4-2, and they're a game behind everybody, right there in the mix in the AFC East.
And now,
everybody's looking at it from the Pittsburgh perspective for seeding purposes.
Right.
I look at it, you got to take care of your own teams in the division first.
And it's a quality win for Miami, a big confidence builder.
Yeah, and listen, Miami might now go in the tank, and I would say, well, we'll never know what would have happened if they had won that Pittsburgh game.
Right.
I know. I was kind of torn, too, when I was watching who to cheer for, but then I went back to what you said about, getting rid of the teams in your division.
I always root against Miami. That's just a general rule of thumb I have.
Now that Parcells is gone, they have a chance. So.
Looking forward to this week. I can't wait. I hope Favre plays. I really does, because I want to pick him off like three times, just like they did Sunday.
Yeah, I want Favre to play too, just for the theater.
Too. I don't want Tavares Jackson. I agree with you guys. I think
I put my pants on just like anyone else.
Yeah,
leg at a time.
Then
I pull my penis out.
Yeah, I guess Saturday Night Live had some fun with Brett Favre.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. You got to YouTube that if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I just if Jackson's in there, I just have these images of the Seattle game with Seneca Wallace. Like,
we might see Seneca Wallace in a couple of weeks. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
I got lunch. You guys contacted me last week, but I was really busy and I didn't get to you. But I got lunch either Wednesday or Thursday.
Don't worry about it, Christian. Jesus.
Don't worry. I mean, all right, fine. You don't want lunch.
No, I
didn't say that.
I just get the show on TV. You don't need me anymore.
I didn't say that, Christian.
I just get embarrassed. Have you been watching that show, Christian?
Of course I have. I love it.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's great. Okay. You guys do an awesome job.
I just worry that we look like fools on the TV.
No way. The production, everything, it's awesome.
All right.
If I were Fred, I would worry about that, too.
Oh.
Take care, guys.
All right, Chris with a TIN from Ravia.
Hey, they're doing a top 10 on NFL Network, lefty quarterbacks. There's no way they came up with 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Kamani writes in, you have nothing to fear from the Vikings, he says. Forget about the names. Just look at how they play. They suck. They play like their record.
Well, didn't you say the same thing about San Diego?
Yeah, that's right.
And you ultimately, we talked about this, Freddie, after the game. Freddie was absolutely right. What makes you think this is the week they stop making those mistakes?
Right.
And they didn't. Right. But don't tell me there was nothing to fear.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was everything to fear. I mean,
if they did make those mistakes,
San Diego could not possibly have played a worse football game, right?
Right.
But they showed you how much talent they have,
yep,
that they could overcome all of that ineptitude and yet find themselves 27 yards away from victory at the end of the game and, you know, what, 2 inches away from a tie and going into overtime.
Yep.
So don't tell me there's nothing to fear. Talent is to be feared, and the other teams have talent.
Absolutely. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Later on today on the Pete Shepard Show, which starts at 4 o'clock here on Patriots.com radio, there could be, and I say could be, because I don't want to get everyone's hopes up, a very special guest. So you might want to tune in to the Pete Shepard Show today at 4 o'clock and see what I'm talking about.
Is that going to be like, you know, tonight on a very special Blossom?
It could be, but I don't know if it's going to have to do with menstrual cycles.
Oh.
Is that what they talked about on that show?
Probably.
Yeah. You like Blossom, right?
Yes, never watched it.
Yes,
once.
You did. Don't lie to me.
Right.
You're into
with
that.
All the shows that you know what I watched last night?
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
What's that?
It's a show on CW.
Okay.
With all the shows that I admit to watch, why would I not admit to watching that if I did?
Why were you not watching football?
I don't watch a lot of Monday night games.
Oh, my God. It does.
What?
I don't understand. How? If there's football on TV, you watch it. Period.
See, I don't. At the end of the week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the end of the week, especially when, you know, it's one of those West Coast trips. And
yeah.
Just kind of footballed out by the time the weekend's over.
Okay.
I don't watch a lot of Monday night games.
All right. Patrick writes in. He's from Waltham. I only played 1 year in high school and 1 year in college, so there are plenty of nuances to football that escape me. Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, obviously knows a whole lot more. For example, I had no idea that it is against the rules to defend your left flat. Seems to, like most of the NFL, remains unaware of this as well. Thank God we have a coach in safeties that are so respectful of the rules of the game that they resist the temptation of putting a safety or linebacker in the flat, or as I like to call it, the forbidden zone. That's a little sarcastic email there.
Kind of coupling on what Kevin was just talking about.
Yeah. Let's see. Lyndon from Colton, California. We met him at the party. He says, what a great weekend. Barry threw an awesome party, and we couldn't have asked for a more intense game. It's great that the Crafts took some time out of their busy schedule to stop by and meet some fans. I can't imagine that there are too many owners out there that would do that sort of thing. I know that the Chargers have a good defense, but I was surprised at the difficulty that the Pats had moving the ball. What's your take on this? Well,
I think it's
kind of
what you talked about. I think the Chargers, you know, this is another thing we talked about in the TV show, but we talked last week how the Chargers were ranked number one in defense. And I think we all mentioned it, but I'm pretty sure none of us all really put much stock into it. We didn't really believe a lot of it. But watching that defense in person, it was pretty good defense. They were fast, aggressive. I think the cornerbacks gave the Patriots receivers some trouble. Yeah. And obviously they got pressure. I mean, they were number two in the league in sacks with 18 coming in. And I could see why.
Yep.
You know, they had constant pressure on Brady in that game. 4 sacks is the most he's been sacked in the game in a while. They were pretty impressive. Now, at the same time, Patriots offense is still a work in progress. There's still work. They're still looking for it.
Oh, absolutely. Kabir from Columbus is mad at B-Lo. He says, just in case you all didn't know, B-Lo sucks at fantasy football advice. He screwed me on the advice. My bench had 95 points and my starters were 65.
By the way, I crushed B-Lo in fantasy this week. In our
did you?
Office.
And he's supposed to be the expert.
Yeah,
what's
just,
going on?
Just to confirm that theory, it is correct. He is not very good at fantasy football.
Oh, but that's not good for our show. The lowdown with the B-Lo.
But you know what, Fred? He's got a lot of good advice. I'm not going to say he doesn't.
Just
have good
don't
advice.
Take it.
No. He's got good advice, but his team just stinks. He drafted terrible.
Oh, really?
Well, and you know, for more expert tips, you can check out the next edition of PFW after the Minnesota game, and we'll see Bilo's fantasy football column.
Oh.
In the pages of Patriots Football Weekly.
We'll have a mid-season A to Z.
Well, it's his turn. Yeah. Haven't had an A to Z in at least three issues.
All right. Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jim from Texas is on it. Hey, Jim.
Hey, it's been a long time, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Jim. How's it down there in the Lone Star State?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been working like a one-legged man in a you-know-what contest. And,
wow.
This is one of the few actual days I've actually been stuck in the office on front of a computer. I popped you all on. I said, I got to call these guys. Okay, my real quick point right now, if you have covered this or not, Brandon Diodrick, who's now starting defensive end, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I actually really do like the draft, and I do scout this sort of thing. When we drafted him, I remember watching that Alabama-Florida game last year, and I thought he played reasonably well. And there's probably in that game about 15 future pros.
Yeah.
And I never understood how come that guy fell all the way down to the seventh round. But if you watch him, boy, I'll tell you what, he's made me a believer. I mean, and he had a sack. He definitely more than held his own. He's one of the That's one of the bright spots of the defense. It's younger. They're more athletic. If we can only fix the secondary. But, you know, that was one of those things that's, I don't know, what do you all think about as far as his ascension, if you will?
Well, I think that he has been a nice story so far. And I don't want to get lost in Brandon Dedrick here, Freddie, because he comes in with an enormous advantage in that he is well-versed on the system. You know, he'd played for Nick Saban at Alabama, and that gives him a leg up on a lot of young guys. We've seen that in the past with some other guys, and then eventually when the other guys get that same kind of experience, they kind of level off a little bit. So yeah. I think he's a nice story. I think he's played well. He's earned his starting job. But the fact that he's ahead of Ron Brace right now is part, I think, due to that sort of thing. That, you know, he has, even though he's only a rookie and Brace is in his second year, he's actually had more time playing the concepts that they're playing right now.
Yeah.
But he's played well. I think Jim is right.
And we probably should have talked about it more, about what's going on with that, with the, you know, the 3 and the 3-4. You know, you got Gerard Warren playing at nose now to start the game.
He's doing really well.
You know, regularly. This isn't just something now they're just trying with Wilfork at the end. This is how they're starting the game out with Warren at the nose, Wilfork at the end, and Diedrich taking, you know, the starting job there. You know, Mike Wright is coming in on situational plays. You know,
and he's playing well.
Yeah.
He had definitely a pressure this weekend. The front seven is playing really solid.
Yeah.
I remember that defense last year, and it just seemed like I was always scared. My heart would just crush in my chest. 3rd and 8, oh, God, they're going to throw. And it was almost like there was nobody within the zip code of when the ball was completed.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel now.
The field. But nowadays, it's like when you get them in 3rd and 5, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 8, they get off the field a lot more consistent. I don't know what their third down
it's not real good.
But it's appreciably better.
Yeah.
Just by looking at them, it's like, and I'm not saying the secondary is a lot better, but I would say overall, the strength of that defense to me is the improvement in the speed department. They're much more quick, which goes back to your other comment there as far as Guyton goes. He ran as fast at the combine as Mayo did. They both had about the same 40
He ran faster than Mayo. He was the fastest linebacker at the combine that year.
So then goes to my other thought that he might be hurt. He may have a pulled hamstring.
He could be. You know, we would never know. Yep.
I think the
difference with this defense is that they're forcing turnovers. They're creating turnovers. Because when they don't get the turnovers, they don't get off the field. Their third down percentage is among the worst in football. And it was bad Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, the Chargers converted a lot, over 50% of their third downs. Heading into Baltimore, the Patriots were dead last in third down percentage. Now, they had a pretty good day that day in third downs, so it might be a little bit higher than it was. But I think the difference, and here's where I agree with you, Jim, the speed and the playmakers, the youth, I think are causing turnovers, and they're creating big plays. They didn't do any of that last year.
Okay. Well, anyways, guys, as always, I don't get, you know, my current employment or whatever. I don't always get a chance to listen to you because I changed my job around down here. But I pop you on the podcast all the time, and you guys have a great show. Number love, dudes. Well, good luck on Sunday.
All right, Jim in Texas. Thanks for the
call. Thanks, Jim. That's too bad he doesn't get to listen to us as much. He was a good caller.
I do have to interrupt our regular programming.
This is unbelievable.
Carol Hardy just came down from the circulation office. the circulation wing of PFW with a cake that someone has sent from Baskin-Robbins. And it says, thanks for a great show to Paul and Fred, the backbone of PFW 5-1. Who sent it, though? I don't know. I don't know who sent it. Maybe Tracy from Vegas or something?
Oh, we met Tracy from Vegas. Yeah,
yeah.
That's another one.
So I don't know.
Scott in Tucson.
Yeah,
we met this week.
I don't know who sent it, but.
Fred, I need to get a game day program from a past game from 07. Think PR would have those?
They might. Yeah, they keep those.
Scott in Tucson is looking for
Carol
a game
keeps
day
them
program.
Too. Don't you have
well,
all
Well, I have. I provided the collection for Carol because I give her my game day every game.
Oh, aren't you the generous sort?
I am. Yeah. I am.
So this is great.
Carol, is there any need for him to take a shot at me for that?
It's an ice cream cake from Baskin-Robbins, and it's like a house with...
It's a Halloween theme, Freddie, with
yeah.
ghosts on the roof.
Okay.
Candy corn.
Is that what that is?
Throughout.
Ghosts? I thought there were candy corn.
On the
roof. On the other side?
Oh, you can't see them?
No. Okay, well, I love ice cream cake. That's good
That's
stuff.
Good. That's good. It's good. It's
wow,
good.
Well, whoever sent it, reveal yourself, because we'd like to thank you.
Yes, I thank you very much. This is really unbelievable.
Big Head missed it.
I don't think Big Head would be enjoying it today as much as he normally would anyway.
Yeah, Jordan in London writes in.
London, baby.
Just wanted to ask you guys a quick question about Sunday's big win. Everyone knows the Chargers like to throw the ball deep, and they do it well. They didn't seem to really get any big completions down the field on Sunday. Because of this, Rivers looked like Captain Checkdown pretty successfully in the fourth quarter. Do you think this was because the Patriots focused heavily on stopping the downfield throws and saying, try and beat us throwing it underneath? Or because the Chargers were down to their fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers and they couldn't get open deep and our linebackers simply couldn't cover the likes of Sproles underneath? I think it's a combination of all those things, really.
I think it was the latter. I think that when you don't have your deep threat, you can't throw deep. You know, it's much like what we're seeing with the Patriots right now. Patriots tried two deep passes on Sunday. The Chargers, to my knowledge, only tried one, and it got picked off. So I just think when you're without Malcolm Floyd, you're without Nene, you're without Vincent Jackson, you have a bunch of guys out there that you're trying to do some different stuff with. And, I think that they got by. I mean, they weren't terrible, but I think the guys that made the mistakes, I think, ultimately cost you the game. You know, and those are guys that wouldn't have been playing.
Chris in Stamford says, hey, Fred and Paul, good show today. Nice to mix up the lineup once in a while. I've heard Bill Parcells' phrase, you are what you are, used incorrectly this past week. One caller said that San Diego is a 2-4 team, calling you out for predicting the Chargers would win. Then Jerry Jones tried to give his State of the Lone Star address on Sunday Night Football. Let's be clear. Parcells was talking about a team's record after 16 games, not halfway through the season. He was saying that at the end of the year, an 8-8 team can't complain that they're really a 10-6 team. You are what you are. So saying that San Diego is a 2-5 team is one thing, but are they a 2-14 team or a 10-6 team? As the great philosopher Fred Kirsch once said, it's a lot easier to tell at the end of the season. Well, that's true. Nice work, guys. We'll see what happens with Trick or Treat Favre, and that's Chris in Stamford, Connecticut. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Good point, Chris. And that is what Parcells always said. You are what your record says you are. But, yeah, that can be deceiving at an early juncture. But I think that what we've seen out of teams like Dallas and San Diego is what they are.
Derek from the University of Arizona, great game Sunday. Great win, at least, and that is all that matters. I have just a few questions and comments. If Matt Light was manhandled by the likes of Antoine Barnes, what will happen when he faces all-pro Jared Allen? Well, we'll see. And even with all the turmoil in Minnesota and Favre's health, why do I feel so nervous about this game? I completely agree with Marcus, who called in a few minutes ago. Devin McCourty played well on Sunday, had a penalty, but what an amazing catch. I guess that's what happens when you turn your head around. How do you rate his improvement of him and the rest of the defense? I think
McCourty's been very good.
Yeah, that was a textbook.
That was a very good pick.
He listened to his bench, because I'm sure his bench was yelling ball, ball when it was up in the air, and he turned. He trusted them and turned. And finally, Derek says the offense is now averaging 21.5 points a game post-Moss, and the defense is giving up 20 post-Moss. Will the offense improve? They were supposed to be the foundation of this team, and they seem out of sync almost the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's basically We talked about Moss scores a touchdown every game. Well, they're scoring a touchdown less without Moss.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Where'd Kevin go? Oh, he just walked out. All right. We'll have to wait on that for a second. Let's see. Who else we got here? Speaking of Tracy from Vegas, she writes in. She says, it was nice to meet you Saturday night. You're both taller, thinner, and younger looking in person. And Eric was very nice.
I love you.
And Eric was very nice to take a few minutes to come over and meet my friends. You may have picked up a few more listeners. Well, that's great. We were surprised to see so many Pats mobile tailgating. And as for the game, we were surrounded by Patriots fans, eighth row behind Pats bench, including a little boy who was attending his first NFL game who gave me a big hug when the Chargers missed the field goal at the end.
I think I met him.
Really?
I met his dad. He introduced himself and his son, and he said it was going to his first game, and they were sitting right behind the Chargers bench.
Well, that's probably the kid.
I'm sure that was the only kid sitting behind the Chargers bench. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Out of 68,000 people. Well, I mean, but yep. Tracy, I love you. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Usually it's the opposite. It's like, wow, you really went bald there, didn't you?
PJ in Philly, what's up, guys? I have a question about objectivity. Why is it that Fred is deemed to be unobjective because he always takes the Patriots, while Eric fancies himself Mr. Objectivity because he always goes against the Pats? You are not objective simply because you go against the home team all the time.
I agree.
Eric is just as unobjective as Fred is. Ever since he got bitch slapped by Belichick in a press conference, Eric has gone against the Patriots in every way. He thought they were going to have a bad record. He thought the Moss trade was bad, and he thought they were going to lose each of the last 3 weeks. And we all know that he does the same thing with Worthless Hot Dog, the single worst joke in PFW history. He keeps saying how overrated Big Ben is when he just keeps winning and putting up numbers. Eric will never admit he's wrong like he is with Roethlisberger, and he is like a teenage girl who got dumped by her boyfriend and refuses to say anything good about the Patriots. Get this moron off the show and stick him with Rook. At least no one will hear him there. Wow.
A lot of girlfriend analogies with Eric.
Yeah, a lot of breaking
isn't that
up.
Isn't that ironic, Fred?
Yeah, a lot of breaking up with girl.
He's never had a girl to break up with.
No.
But yet everybody compares him to a scorned lover.
Maybe he's just getting himself ready for having one and then losing it.
Yeah. But I agree with the – I know the guy was just beating up on Eric, but there is an element out there that if you're negative, you're objective.
Right.
Well, if you're negative all the time, you're not objective.
Right.
You know, that's no better than you.
You're lucky I had a piece of ice cream cake in my mouth when you said that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not objective when you say all of one side. Whether you're picking them to win every week or picking them to lose every week, that's not objective.
Right. Warren says, just a reminder that around 10 of us will be coming into the show on Thursday the 28th. We will be buying you all lunch. That includes all four of you guys and Eric, the two guys in the booth, and we would like to extend this to John Rook. We will be traveling on the
Wednesday. Might as well bring B-Lo in there, too.
Yeah, we will be traveling on Wednesday to Boston from the U.K. Could Kevin place the order for us? Please tell Pizza Grande that we will pay them on the delivery on Thursday. We'll also be placing an order so that we can eat as well, and we will call this in ourselves.
So, wow.
Kevin's on the phone right now.
Yeah, Eric sent me that email at 6:10 this morning to alert me that that was happening. I don't know why he was up at 6:10.
He works very hard, Kevin. He's kind of like you.
I also
nose to the grindstone, 6 o'clock in the morning.
I also wanted to thank Eric for helping us as well. We are all looking forward to meeting you all again. We will be doing a tour of the hall before we turn up. What time do you need us to be ready for the show? Well, we'll have
Fred,
Kevin.
Fred, save that email.
Oh, I just deleted it. It came to you, too, right? I don't delete it from, this is my own box.
Right.
So you've got it.
You leave his box alone.
Don't worry about it. I didn't delete it.
Carol, why are you sitting here?
Carol's here. People are looking for the subscriptions, but Carol's down here eating cake. Right. That's okay.
That voicemail you're getting is Carol Hardy.
You can stay. I'm only kidding. Don't worry about it. John in South Carolina. Hey, guys, and Eric Florio. I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised about the Patriot defense. I would not say that they are good yet. However, they are making plays, which is something they have not done in years. A weird thing happened when I heard that Chung went down. I got nervous. Is Chung now to be a piece of our defense? If so, when did that happen? On offense, do you think we can do anything to improve our offensive line? That's an interesting
point. Well, Logan Mankins could come back.
You know, it's interesting, though. You know, one of you guys wrote it or said it recently about Chung. You know, all of a sudden, from last year to this year, he became the de facto starter as safety. And there was really nothing on the field that we saw that would make him that.
Right.
But it just, you know, spring and summer practices started. He was that guy.
Yeah, he's played well. I still have some reservations about him in coverage, but I do not have those reservations about him tackling and getting near the line of scrimmage in run support. He's a player that I do think they would miss a little bit if he were out for an extended period of time. I don't think it would be crushing because I do think they have some depth there, although it's taken a little bit of a hit the last couple of weeks now. Jarrad Page was out this past week with the calf injury. If Chung is out and Page can't play, now you're down to Merriweather and Sanders.
Yeah, but don't forget Sergio Brown.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you really feel comfortable
absolutely
with a practice squad?
Anyone they bring up is going to do the job, Paul, at this point.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Why, you know, Eric is not any worse than you. That's what I mean.
Well, look, he comes in and makes a key tackle.
Yeah, he also made some mistakes in that game. Did you see any of those?
None. Dave in North Park, the amount of Patriots fans at the game was awesome. From my seat, I was initially unsure what happened on the G-Force's touchdown in the final missed field goal. What made me even more unsure was the amount of people that stood up cheering for both events. I was sure that the play had gone the Chargers' way, but in fact, they were all Pats fans.
There was a discernible difference in the noise between things that happened for the Chargers and things that happened to the Patriots. At the end of the – you can't tell on field goals in particular because we're always on the side of the field. So you can't tell if a field goal is good or not until the referee gives you the signal. I knew that wasn't going to be good by the reaction from the Patriots contingent that was sitting in the opposite end zone, Fred. You could hear the roar come, but it was definitely too quiet to be a roar –
right.
That the field goal was going to be good.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Now, ultimately, I think that roar was probably premature. Because the way they started cheering when the ball was halfway there, I didn't think it was close.
Yep.
And the ball ends up clanking halfway up the upright. I mean, that basically was down to inches.
Carol, why don't you bring that cake up, see if anyone upstairs wants it. Yeah, because it's ice cream. It's not going
to... Well, we're up to Mark Brunell for the lefty quarterback brigade, Freddie.
Okay. Dave in North Park also says, I unfortunately missed the gathering on Saturday night.
Oh,
will there be a gathering the night before the Bears game? Well, Barry is...
Seems like there will be.
He's thinking about it for Chicago, so keep in touch with this show or join the Patriots tailgate group off of Yahoo, and you never know. Let's see. Getting back to some emails. Got a lot of good emails today.
A lot of interaction today. People are excited, Fred.
A lot of emails.
A lot of excitement.
Keith in Dallas... First off, I'd like to say I am glad I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan. Maybe it's me, but does it seem like the Patriots are not getting Brandon Tate involved? I'm seeing Brady go deep to Deion Branch, but not to Tate. Isn't Tate supposed to be our speedster? Secondly, when he does throw to Tate, Brady is underthrowing him. That could be a sign of lack of confidence in Brady and Tate. Maybe he hasn't got his confidence yet, but we'll see.
Well, also, I haven't seen them really throw the ball deep to him very much at all.
Yeah. Can someone please tell Sean Crable that he's not Freeney or Mathis and stop spinning? He's 6'5" and will not spin off anyone. He needs to watch the game's top pass rushers, his size, and freaking bull rush the defenders and push the linemen back to get to the quarterback or set the GD edge. I hope this Sunday Ron Brace is back in the game because Adrian Peterson is coming to town, and I think the key to the game is stopping the run. I also think this is the game Darius Butler plays, and hopefully Terrence Wheatley is activated since Chung is hurt.
Might see Wheatley activated, but I'm not sure you're going to see a whole lot of Darius Butler. I don't know. Maybe one of these guys goes back and plays a little safety, but I'm not sure that happens.
Speaking of
Brace, I think I think he's been surpassed by Dedrick, as we talked about John Jim's call.
Yeah. Speaking of Crable, Darius writes in from Virginia Beach. I noticed Sean Crable in the game Sunday. When did he get moved up from the practice squad, and how well did he play? I'm surprised no one has mentioned anything about that.
Well, because it happened about 3 weeks ago, and we mentioned it then.
Yeah,
he's played the last few games, right?
Yeah, as far as how he played, I don't know.
Nondescript.
Yeah.
Hasn't done a thing.
You know, and I think Cunningham...
Cunningham has played
he's played pretty well.
I think he shows, you know what he, you know, that they just talked about the bull rush with Crable. I think Cunningham has a little bull rush in him.
Yes, he does.
You know?
He listened to me. I told him he can't take that outside route. Sometimes the direct path is the quickest
way.
But
when he took the outside route, he made a big play against Baltimore when he knocked the ball out of Flacco's hands.
Yeah, he did one. But he's got to mix it up. He can't do the same thing every time. And he is starting to bull rush more.
What is this? Patriots quarterback Tom Brady comments on Brett Favre's ankle injury. I assume they're talking about his EEI interview this morning.
He was praising him.
Yeah, I mean, but nothing that would be deemed press worthy.
No, nothing. Well, that's what they do on ESPN. They make these headlines up to get people.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're trying to make it out to be a controversial thing, but I just can't imagine that was even worthy of being part of the telecast.
Yeah. But getting back to Cunningham versus Crable, the problem with Crable, we've always said, is his lower body. He's got stick legs. And I don't know, you know, sometimes you can have deceiving power even when you have skinny legs, but he doesn't seem to be a bull rusher to me.
No.
You know, whereas Cunningham, he does have a thick lower body, and he's starting to use that power.
He's shown up the last couple of weeks. You know, he wasn't all over the field making plays last week, but I do see a little of that bull rush in him where he's disruptive. He knocks a guy back and takes away some of that room in the pocket from the quarterback, even when he doesn't get there.
And, you know,
pass rush is still lacking.
And Freeney is known for that spin move, but he doesn't do that every time.
You know,
he sets guys up with that.
What do we get for sacks in that game? Two?
I forget.
Three?
I don't know.
I mean, that's...
I know Wright had one.
Dedrick had one, too. We don't get a lot of pressure. I mean, he threw the ball like 54 times, 56 times.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of pressure.
Bob Lee writes in...
We don't get a lot of pressure. I know.
Bob Lee, two issues I'd like to discuss. One, the NFL has apologized to the Vikings for getting the call wrong in the end zone when the catch where the player stretched out in the end zone and ruled that he caught the ball because of the ground was ruled incorrectly by the ref. And in addition, if Childress had thrown the red flag on a Green Bay touchdown where the player clearly lost control of the ball in the end zone, the Vikings would have won or at least taken the game into overtime.
I didn't see that touchdown by the Packers. I didn't see the whole game because we were flying home.
Yeah.
But very interesting that they admitted they were wrong. You know, and I'm gonna actually back the refs in this regard, Fred.
Yeah.
It's not their fault that they don't know what a catch is because it changes every week.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
That we both saw it. We were sitting next to each other on the plane, and we both looked at each other with, you know, incredulity,
right,
to use an Eric word. And, you know, how was that not a catch? The ball never moved. Because they always tell you, well, this means it's not a catch. That means it's not a catch.
You gotta
just go with the theory. You know, I think Childress said the 50 drunks theory.
Right.
50 drunks in a bar are all going to look at that play and say touchdown.
Right.
And if that's the case, don't overcomplicate it.
Right. Right.
You know, sometimes it's just a catch.
Yep.
The horn didn't, I mean, the horn, what was that?
I don't know. I think
the ground didn't help him make that catch.
Bob says, sure, it's easy to blame Favre, but these two calls caused a swing of 14 points, which is huge.
That was me blowing my nose.
It sounded like something was going on there. Remember, the Vikings only lost by 4 points. Favre did not lose the game, in my opinion. Well,
Favre lost the game.
Yeah. And two, Tom Brady is Peter King's number one candidate to be the most valuable player in 2010.
He's got to be top three minimum.
Yep. So, you know, he's definitely up there. There's a lot of guys, though, that are incredibly valuable.
Let me ask you something.
To their team.
I don't really read Peter King because I don't have 3 days to do it, but does he have other candidates, I'm curious?
I don't know.
Other than Tom Brady?
I don't know.
I think Tom Brady should be the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only six games, but I think Brady should be the leader. Give me another guy or two.
Well, you mentioned LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
I'm
stunned by it, but right now I have to have him in the conversation.
Sure.
Because I think he's brought a winning edge to that team, and he's played far better than I ever thought he would.
Yeah.
Now, again, six games. Let's see what he's doing after 12 games. See if he can hold up physically.
Tracy in Vegas says, sorry, the cake wasn't for me. I stick with booze. All right. Well,
now I'm just going to openly propose.
I'll
Tracy.
Be expecting that six pack any day now.
Is that inappropriate if I propose, even though I'm married?
Not in Utah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Now all the Mormons are going to be mad at me. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. It is what it is. There's a reality show about that now.
Oh, is that
you
right?
Seen that?
No.
You know, there's a show on HBO, Big Love. It's about polygamy.
Oh, is that right?
But there's actually a reality show, and the guy just got married. He just, like, his fourth wife.
I thought they
and they show, like, the other wives helping her on her wedding day and stuff.
Oh,
it's just such
it's
a strange,
just, sick,
just a strange way of life.
Josh writes in from Waterloo,
and
Iowa.
Yes, I admit to watching that show, Fred,
yeah,
but yet I won't admit to watching Blossom.
Yeah, I don't understand. Josh from Waterloo, Iowa. Hey, guys, and Eric. Here are some thoughts on our visit to San Diego. One, according to Bob Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, San Diego has a better zoo, but New England has a better football team. That's a good line.
Great line.
And he just thought of that right there on the spot. It wasn't something he rehearsed. Two, speaking of zoos, we found out that monkeys do it quickly and often.
Okay.
Yes. Three, Paul is cheap and easy date. We sat with Scott from Arizona and his wife, which was lovely. And when Scott bought Paul a Miller Lite, he ran over to our table and practically gave Scott a lap dance. And then we couldn't get him away from us. Kidding, Paul, but I still want that autograph.
Undrafted free agent. Oh, shoo-ish.
That's funny.
He also learned, Josh did, that submarines are long, hard, and full of semen. And finally,
I didn't teach you that one.
And while watching Sunday Night Football at the hotel, my prudish and quiet wife said to Chris Collingsworth, "Why don't you just lick his balls?" Shocked, I looked at her and she said, "Well, he's kissing his ass so much, why stop there?"
We're talking about Favre, I assume?
I guess so.
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
Oh, here's a funny that I heard.
I enjoyed meeting them, by the way.
Last night before the game, or just as the game was starting, you know, they're getting revved up and, you know, the first couple series, and Gruden is like all amped up, and he's talking about the giant receivers, and he's like, you know, this guy and this guy and this guy, and he goes, "I call him Jet Blue. That's what I call him. I call him Jet Blue." And then, and it's like no one reacted to him. So he goes, "That's what I call him. I call him Jet Blue." And Jaworski goes, "Good, John."
That's what he referred to the whole Giants receiving core. He called them Jet Blue.
But did you hear what he kept saying?
But evidently,
over and
no
over.
One reacted.
No. He kept saying it over and over. Finally, Jaworski goes, "Good, John."
They used it this morning on 98.5. They play the John Gruden this guy that guy challenge, and they play all of his this guy that guys from the week before.
But I laughed out loud. Good, John. Because he was like a kid, like hoping for somebody to say, "Oh, I like that."
Positive reinforcement.
They asked him if he was going to dress up for Halloween, and I guess last year he was the Joker. So God knows what he's going to dress up as this year.
Hey, we found out who the cake person is.
Who is it?
Sam in Chicago.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
She says, "I hope your cake doesn't scare you guys, but I thought the two of you would enjoy. I also said during the San Diego game on your blog, Fred, that if Paul's early nod turned out to be true, I would send you guys a cake."
Oh, okay.
"Here's to 5-1 in a season where it's anybody's game."
Just so you know, that wasn't such an early nod.
Well,
it was
early
20-3 in the third quarter. The game was over. Should have been.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Admittedly, it wasn't. But had you turned around any earlier, Fred, I declared that game over a long time before that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to give me a tap when you make an early
nod.
Well,
I mean, I don't.
Because you wouldn't believe how many people on the blog, after every score, "Did Paul nod yet? Did Paul nod yet?"
Oh, yeah. It was 10-3. I ended the game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would have blogged that.
Yeah. Now, I was wrong. I mean, ultimately.
No, you weren't.
The nod is supposed to eliminate the competitive portion of the game.
Right.
From that point on, you're never in danger of losing.
Right.
In other words. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know.
And let's face it. We were in danger of losing.
Well, technically, they were only in danger of being tied.
No. Technically, the other team had the ball with 2 minutes left at the 50-yard line, down
and three touchdowns. And three timeouts.
And three timeouts. We easily could have lost that game in regulation.
Marcus in D.C., "Did Paul just say he'd rather watch Gossip Girls over Monday Night Football?" Wow.
No, I just get footballed out. I don't watch a lot of Monday night games, period.
I resign.
I generally watch the CBS. I know I've had this conversation with you, Fred, and you've made fun of me. I watch the CBS sitcoms on Monday nights.
Wow, I just.
It's a good lineup.
I thought we finally found common ground. Now it just feels awkward. So. Yeah.
I watched a little Gossip Girl last night because my wife usually goes upstairs on Monday nights. And she decided to stay downstairs. And I thought, you know, after being away for 3 days, I didn't really think it was appropriate for me to say,
some quiet time.
Why don't you go upstairs and watch this garbage? But Gossip Girl, not a bad show. You ever watch it, Phil?
Nope. Can't say that I have.
I
do watch the Monday night lineup, though. Well, I usually DVR that and then watch it.
They're very good. The Monday night sitcoms are very good. And I don't think there are a lot of good sitcoms on TV anymore.
Ever since they canceled Golden Girls, Paul's been searching for that new program.
Right. So I just decided to go to Gossip Girl instead of Golden Girls.
Right.
But they have, Fred, Rules of Engagement is a show that no one watches. No one that I really know. It's one of the funniest shows that I've seen in a long time.
How I Met Your Mother.
I like them all.
Yeah.
I like them all.
The one with Charlie Sheen there.
Yeah, and, 2 and a Half Men is very good, even though it's kind of running out of gas.
Yeah.
But Rules of Engagement, hot chicks, first of all, and very, very funny.
Okay.
TBS, very funny.
Craig, you know, my wife likes the those Men of a Different, what is it called? The
Your
one with Ray Romano now?
Oh.
Men of a Certain Age.
Men of a Certain Age. She thinks that's one of the best shows
I've never
on TV.
Seen it. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you. I don't have time for new shows.
Oh, yeah. Craig, a.k.a. D.I.M., good afternoon.
Blake looks like Lively, we've got by the way, was outstanding on Gossip Girl last night.
Okay.
She had this dress on that was completely open in the front. I was.
Yeah.
Dick Stadium.
Exactly.
Did you watch these shows
boob
alone
everywhere.
Or you
would boob everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Good afternoon. Looks like we have a
like
dynamic
to
duo today.
Dress.
I do not question Belichick going for it on 4th and 1 when you have a chance to ice the game. However, doing a run play going east and west with law firm when he is a north and south runner doesn't add up. I would rather a QB sneak or Sammy Morris going up the gut. Last year on 4th and 2, they completed the pass but were short. What do they get with those yards? What can they do to get those yards? What type of play would you guys like to see when going forward in that situation? As we all know, it will come up again. We really haven't talked about that, the 4th and 1 call.
It just goes to show you that it's a result-based thing.
Yeah.
You know, had
they
lost the game, that's all we would be talking
that's
about.
That's true. Yeah.
I hated the decision to run the football.
Right.
In any way. Quarterback sneak was out of the question.
Yeah.
And
the,
I know
the way they were stacked up.
We've heard a lot.
Yes.
We've heard a lot of that.
Yeah.
People say, look at Brady's track record on quarterback sneaks. I would defy you to go back and find a situation where the other team was looking for a quarterback sneak that Brady successfully executed one.
Right.
Because generally they get to the line quickly and get the situation where there's an opening in the middle and they take advantage of it.
Yeah, the moment they lined up for that play, I said there's no way he's
They were
sneaking.
In a goal line defense.
Right.
You don't see Brady quarterback sneak in the goal line, do you?
Yeah. See,
very often?
That's where you fake the sneak and dump it over the line to a tight end.
If you're
going
to go for it, I would have liked to have seen – I don't have any confidence that this team can gain a yard when the other team is ready for a run. And I really don't care very much about what the other team is. I haven't seen this team run the ball successfully in run situations consistently since Corey Dillon. So I don't really like the idea of banging my head into the middle of a defense. I agree wholeheartedly with the email. The play call itself I thought was ridiculous. Unless Green Ellis didn't execute it properly and went east-west on his own, that play never had a chance.
Yeah.
Remember, I would like to see what you just said, Freddie.
Remember back to training camp, though, Paul? How we were like banging our heads against the wall talking about
could
how bad
not,
they were out in the
could not
field.
Get a yard in, what, 14 tries?
Yeah, going against
before they finally
their own,
scored, going against their own defense.
For 3 weeks, we were banging our heads against the wall.
Couldn't agree
how
more. That's a great
we
point
were.
That you bring it up. See, he can contribute.
Sure.
That's where it started.
A nice play action there, and now you have tight ends that can make plays. Can't you slip a tight end out in the flat for a 5-yard gain?
Right, right.
I would rather have seen that. Now, I'll tell you this. You know me. I love going for it on 4th down. I think I would have punted.
Yeah.
I think I would have punted. First of all, you couldn't have ended the game by getting the 1st down because they had 3 timeouts, so you were going to have to get another 1st down to end the game. Now, clearly, if you had gotten that 1st down, your chances of winning the game would have been dramatically improved. But if it's a situation where you can absolutely end the game with a 1st down, in other words, the next play is going to be a kneel down, then I would have, you know, like the Colts thing, they could have done that, but it was a field position thing that made that a curious decision. I don't have any problem with going for this 4th down. However, I would have punted. I would have made them go 60 yards. You know, Brady said all they would have needed was 60 yards. They would have had 3 timeouts. Well, I would have made them do it because it would have said to me, basically, we were talking about it in the press box, Fred. I think it would have eliminated the regulation loss.
Yeah.
The worst that you could have happened if you punted probably was overtime.
Yeah. I think I would have punted as well.
You put yourself in danger of losing the game in regulation.
Yeah.
And had, I think it was Creighton.
Yeah.
He dropped the pass over the middle. Had he caught that, and all of a sudden you're off. I mean, they got a 1st down in the first play, and the second play, I think, was a drop over the middle by, I think it was Creighton. Had they caught that, all of a sudden they're well within field goal range with loads of time left.
Yep.
Everybody looks, and don't forget, they allowed 40 seconds to run off the clock intentionally
before
they tried their game-tying field goal. There was a lot of time left.
Yeah. Yeah.
They very easily could have lost that game had they not had that drop.
Brian and a couple other people have emailed in about Peter King's MVP watch.
It's Peter King.
Number one is Tom Brady. Number two, Peyton Manning. Number three, Roddy White, the wide receiver from Atlanta. And number four, Haloti Ngata from...
Nada.
Baltimore.
From Baltimore. So
no LT reference.
Those are his top four. I disagree with Manning this year.
Oh, I think Manning's been great.
Oh, I think he's been
Kidding
great.
Me? But that team stinks.
See, this goes back. I know
that team flat out stinks.
I know we're going to get into an argument again. But to me,
we haven't argued all day.
When this is the MVP argument, to me,
oh.
MVP is not who's playing best. It really is who's most valuable to their team's success.
And you think that Manning is not responsible?
No,
for those
he
wins?
Absolutely is. But they don't have enough wins.
Fred, they're one game behind the Patriots.
You know, so
it's 5-1 to 4-2.
Yeah, so I really think that you have to look elsewhere this
You're
year.
High
this year.
You are
no. If they end up 14-2, okay. You know,
no, because if the Patriots are 15-1, you'll say he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't have enough wins.
Well, then it would be Brady. Henry
that
from
team. Listen, Brady, I think is number one right now. For the same reason, their teams aren't that good. You're seeing how good they are.
Peyton Manning.
And I don't even think Brady is playing great football, but he's willing his team to win.
Yeah, Peyton Manning is, you know, that team goes nowhere without Peyton
this
Manning.
This is why I'm so excited right now about the Patriots' prospects, Fred. The teams that we thought were really good.
Right.
Baltimore, I thought was a really good team. They're just kind of, they're playing all right. I think they'll be there at the end. Pittsburgh has been pretty good, but not unbeatable. Indianapolis is lucky if they have 40 players in the team by the end of the year, the way they're going.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to sign a guy off the street every game just to get a team on the field.
Fred, before you...
San Diego is a joke right now.
Before you jump back into the emails to end the show, we do have a phone call who's been on the line for a while.
Oh, we do? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Eldridge from North Carolina. Usually my little thing lights up. It wasn't lit up.
You just leave your little thing out of it.
Eldridge, how you doing?
Fine, sir. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Excellent, Eldridge.
I'm doing good. Glad about the win Sunday. I watched the game from Laredo, Texas, where I'm stuck at for right now.
Oh, okay.
But I got a couple questions, too. I think it was Eric. Brady should be number one, because if we lose Brady, we shot. I don't care, Boyer, whoever they could bring in. Wouldn't do it. He should be the MVP of the year.
Everyone sucks, but if that's your criteria, Eldridge, then the same could be said of Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers. There's a bunch of quarterbacks that if their team lost them, they're done. So you got to look beyond that when you're talking about MVP.
But I also agree that he's willing the team to win. Because Sunday, to me, Brady seemed very frustrated, not with the defense, with his own players, especially the receivers.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't a good performance offensively, it wasn't a good performance by Tom Brady.
I mean, look at the one play. Forget about the plays where he was pressured. There was one play where he threw to Welker, and Welker was still going out on his route, and he threw it like behind him by 5 yards.
He had a lot of passes that someone mentioned it earlier. At guys' feet.
Yeah,
and listen, just wasn't smooth on Sunday.
And Brady said something today that was interesting. He said, you know, when it comes to Welker, I might have said it Sunday night. I'm not sure when he said it, but it was after the game. He said, "I've got to get the ball to Wes Welker more often."
Yeah,
this is
he
just
said it today.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Like the other caller said before, the threat we don't have one. You saw what San Diego did, start cutting down on the short game, but leaving them. Like I said, they won't really worry about a deep threat. You think the other defense is going to do the same thing?
But sure.
They're better than us.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think that, you know, they're going to be trying to take away Welker and trying to take away Branch and the tight ends first. And you could talk about downfield. That's an issue too, but I also think the Patriots need to run the ball. You know, if they don't have to worry about really the Patriots running the ball on first down and they don't have to worry about the deep, you know, that's just one part of the field, one section of the field that they have to worry about. And that makes it a lot easier for a defense.
Yep. And my other question is, you're right too, man. Corey Dillon was the best back we done had there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and ground game on 4-for-1, I would do what you said, play action, hit the fullback in the flat, or maybe one of the tight ends, because nobody would be expecting that, because we really don't have a running game. And I wish we'd get one back that would be a running game, because Patriots, they never had a running back, a featured running back, and a featured receiver on the same team, not that I can remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had an Ask PFW mail that came in and said, you know, now with Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, do you think the Patriots are all set? They don't have to worry about running back. I disagree. Off-season, I think running back is a high priority for this team.
Yeah, I agree.
And a featured wide receiver with speed to make the
Yeah,
I agree with that also.
Yep.
They need some playmakers on offense. You know, they had them the last few years. They're starting to get older. They got rid of Moss now. Welker's not as big a playmaker this year coming off the knee surgery. Whether he gets that back or not, we'll wait and see. But, yeah, I think you're right. They're going to need some more playmakers.
And I think on offensive line, they got to look at that too because those guys are getting older. You know, they've got to replenish the offensive line.
Yeah, but I think I know I hopped on this a couple weeks ago when I talked to y'all. That Moss trade really killed us because you see now Welker and tight ends have this difficult go across the middle, the things they used to do now because everybody was afraid of Moss.
Yeah. And, I understand.
Brandon Tate. I don't know what happened to Brandon Tate yet, but I don't know if he ain't developed yet or, like you said earlier, Brady ain't got no confidence in him yet.
Yeah, we'll find out because, if you don't see him become a bigger part of the offense over the ensuing 10 games, then that probably does tell you that Brady doesn't have a lot of faith in him.
Yep. All right, Eldridge.
All right,
good
man.
Stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks
have
for the
a good day now.
Keep on trucking.
Thanks, Eldridge.
You
keep on keeping on.
Henry, it's his birthday, so I'll get to his email. He's from Whitefish, Montana. He says, seems like I've seen a lot of teams in the prevent over the last few weeks, and there's one thing I've always wondered. Late in the game, when a team is protecting a lead, they'll rush three and drop eight into coverage. I get this. But you always see quarterbacks jogging around back there and often scrambling for an easy first down because the three players that do the rushing are always big defensive linemen. When the quarterback is flushed out of the pocket, he will often easily scamper away from them and head down the field. Why would a team not rush two linemen and send a safety or a linebacker from the outside? These offensive plays are dependent on the quarterback having time to get the receivers down the field. So even if the safety blitz was a bit delayed, at least you'd have a guy back there who was fast enough to stop a quarterback from scrambling for 20 yards. It's just so frustrating watching games on TV and you see the QB running away from defensive linemen, and suddenly you can't see another defensive player on the field because they're all 40 yards away.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. I think that the probably the rationale, Fred, I don't know how you feel about it, but if you're only rushing three, then at least five guys to block. I'm not sure the safety would be able to disengage from blockers.
Right.
Safety blitzes are one thing when they're running free, but if a guard wants to pick up the safety, he's probably going to get him.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to swallow him and neutralize him for a while. Now, I understand what the point is. If a guy's scrambling around and buying extra time, it's hard for linemen to hold on to their blocks forever, without risking a penalty. So, yeah, I mean, I understand what the point is. I just think that the theory would be, more often than not, you want to send a smaller guy when there's only three guys rushing, then the lineman should be able to handle those smaller guys.
All right. Along those same lines, Fred from Halifax says, for the love of God, can someone please explain to me why a defense that holds a team to 3 points for most of the game all of a sudden decides to play 20 yards off the ball? It is not just the Patriots. It's almost every team. Why don't these teams just keep playing the game that they have played for three quarters and stop with this foolish backing off? Catch, tackle, catch, tackle, catch, tackle, touchdown. The only thing that keeps me from putting my foot through the TV is the money I paid for it. Well, see, here's the problem. I mean, and I hear what Fred...
I like that line.
I think it's Fred. Everybody has that same frustration, but... The thing is, you know, you say, well, why can't the defense just keep doing what it was doing? The problem is the offense isn't doing what it was doing. It's changed up completely. Its personnel, when it gets behind, they change it. You know, they're using all wide receivers. You know, they're forgetting about the run completely. So you kind of have to play back to not let up that big play.
Yeah, I completely disagree with this particular game. I think there are times where that's absolutely an issue, where defenses get soft and go into the prevent shell and whatnot. Now, a couple of things. Number one, when you have a 20-3 lead in the fourth quarter, like the Patriots did on Sunday, I think that it was 23-6, I think, in the fourth quarter, I should say. I think what you need to concern yourself with is making sure you don't allow an easy score. You got to make them work for it the way they did. And that's number one. The second thing here is, let's not get lost in the defense's performance. in terms of the style that they played. They played the same style in the first half. The difference is they forced four turnovers in the first half. They didn't force any turnovers in the second half. But it wasn't because of a whole adjustment to the way they played. A guy caught a pass 25 yards downfield, wide open over the middle, went to the ground and put the ball on the ground and got up. If that had happened in the second half, we wouldn't be complaining about a prevent. My point is, the other team did what it wanted to offensively. They just kept turning the ball over, two of them completely unforced.
Yep.
That's why they got in trouble. I don't think that Belichick got soft defensively. John, you know, we'll step inside the playbook. I don't know how you feel about it, John, but I didn't think it was a huge problem in terms of philosophy. I just think that the big play of the game was the onside kick that allowed consecutive possessions in the fourth quarter and suddenly got the game hairy.
Yeah, but even so, at the end of the game on the fourth and one call, they make that yard. I think the game's over as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and I have to wonder. I realize it looked like, you know, in that particular instance, San Diego was crowding the line, but I don't ever remember Tom Brady not making a sneak.
Yeah, he wouldn't have made it in that.
He might not have. I'm just saying that I don't ever remember him not making it. So. You know,
the way they were lined up, though,
there
was no way. The minute they lined up, I said, there's no way they can make it.
He can't sneak. He only sneaks when there's a certain alignment.
What Ben Jarvis did then is he read the hole terribly wrong.
I agree.
You know, he didn't follow his blocking.
It was a bad run.
Because if there had been a slight cutback, if you look at it on the replay, just all he needed was a slight cutback to the right, he gets the yard and probably a couple of more.
And just to back up the point that Fred and I were making, if you recall, in that 17-play drive, there was a fourth and one on that drive. And they similarly stacked the line.
They did.
And Brady didn't sneak it.
Nope.
And they gave it to Benny off the left tackle, and he ended up eking it out. He just got it.
It's clear.
But, you know.
It's clear the teams know that they feel like that's what's coming when the Patriots have fourth and short like that, because Brady's had great success with it.
But he generally has success in a hurry-up situation where, you know, it's a little late in the game or something, and they just want to get that first down, and they get a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. You know, they get people moving into position, not quite aligned, but that was strict goal line defense right there.
Yep.
I never see Brady sneak again. You don't see Brady sneak on the goal line very often.
On the goal line, no, you generally don't.
And that's because generally goal line personnel is in the game, and that's what happened on that one. I don't think Brady would have made it. And I know a lot of people have said, you know, Brady almost never gets stopped on those, and he doesn't. He's very, very good at it. But I don't think he would have had much success on that one.
Your original point, though, about the onside kick, it just took the momentum right away. The Patriots had complete and total control. As poorly as the offense was playing in the first half, which was abysmal. Fact is, you know, they didn't take advantage of the turnovers. I think that's all been pretty well documented by now. They didn't take advantage of it, but they still had the lead. And I remember talking to the guys that I was with watching the game on Sunday. I'm thinking, you know what? They have the lead. They played worse probably than the Chargers did. If you took away the turnovers, they were worse on the field than what the Chargers did. The turnovers is what made the difference in the game.
Absolutely.
And so I said, sometimes you just have to live a charmed life, and let's see if that's what the Patriots have today. And sure enough, they did. And of course, they got the biggest charm right at the end when Chris Brown doinked it off the upright.
I think Bob Ryan wrote on Monday in the Boston Globe, it's one of those games where you sprint for the plane.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
So they don't change things before you leave.
They ask for a recount.
Yes. That's exactly.
Yeah,
he's right.
One of those games.
He's right.
John Rook is here with Patriots Playbook. What do you got coming up, John?
Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings.
I love Paul Allen.
I love him.
Yeah, he's coming.
I love that tandem.
You're going to talk to him about that?
Why would you throw the ball anyway? It's the NFC Championship.
I love it. No, he's really good.
It's not Detroit.
Tell him I listen to him on Sirius.
I will tell him that we have some fans here in Patriot Nation.
We like Paul Allen. He's really good.
The utter raw emotion on that interception in the NFC Championship game was fantastic.
I don't disagree.
He drops back, and he rolls out, and it's intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing. That's basically word for word.
One of those Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw.
Saw that the Vikings lost a chance to go to the Super Bowl. He lost a chance to go to the Super Bowl, too.
Right. Of course. And then the other guy chimes in. He just starts screaming, which is, again, the raw emotion.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Fred, Paul, and Andy. You know,
let's put you guys behind the mic.
That'd be great. Only we're not doing the game. We're not the flagship radio station. That was great.
All right. Well, we're going to make way for Patriots Playbook. And don't forget, Pete Shepard might have a very special guest at 4 o'clock, so you might want to tune in for that. We'll see you tomorrow.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best.
But I guess my best wasn't good enough.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.